This is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page.
Patriots come hard. He fires to the right, and it is picked off at the 40. Vincent Wilfork at the 50, at the 45, and all the way down to the 30-yard line. Vincent Wilfork.
The pregame social is the world's largest virtual tailgate, featuring the fans of the three-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
And the Patriots are world champions again. Back-to-back, 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart are here to do the grilling as your hosts. This week, the Patriots are in Detroit to take on Calvin Johnson and the Lions in preseason game number 3.
Brady awaiting the shotgun snap on fourth down. He's got it. Back to throw. Looks. Fires. Caught. Touchdown. Rob Gronkowski.
Now, Mark, Paul, and Andy get you ready for the game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots Nation, welcome to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
It's the Dunkin' welcome. Donuts.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh.
Whoa.
Oh,
hey,
I'm sorry.
I'm the host here.
I'm sorry. I just, this is what
are
I
you
usually,
new here?
This is usually when I start talking.
It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, and I'm on time.
Okay.
How do you like that?
Glad to have you.
How do you like that for the first time in the history of this program? I am on time.
For the first time in the history of 3 weeks.
Yes. I mean, hey, that's history, 3 weeks. I thought we've put together some historical programming here in the last 3 weeks, but maybe you don't agree, Andy.
I think we're doing a fine job.
Maybe you don't agree.
You in particular.
Yes, I'm here on time. Now, I'm going to try and make that a regular thing.
Okay.
Showing up on time.
So far, you're 1 and 2.
Yeah, 1 of 3. There's been 3 of these.
No, 1 and 2.
Oh, 1 and 2.
I basically have 2 losses and 1 victory.
Sorry, I didn't hear you correctly. I'm sorry. So it is the Patriots pregame social here on Patriots.com. Patriots getting ready for preseason game number 3 tonight on the road in Detroit. What gets decided tonight? What gets decided for this team tonight? Between now and the first weekend in September, September 8th, when they start the regular season, they've got to get rid of 30 guys. More than 30 guys right now that they have on their roster. And what, if anything, gets decided in this game tonight?
Running back, defensive line.
I think the whole season's on the line tonight. I think it's a must win.
Well, I think I'm going to base my prediction for the year based on just this one.
Absolutely.
Game.
You know, must win tonight.
ESPN's not. They got him 9-7. We're sticking with it. 1-7 on the road.
We'll get into that, I would imagine, at some point, too. But I agree with Andy with some of the positions that he threw out there. I think there's some guys
tight
that...
end, should I throw that?
There's some guys that have not only jobs, because I think that the positions Andy talked about are roster spots are up for grabs for sure. Tight end that you just threw in there, too. But I also think roles, kind of contributing roles with guys like Logan Ryan or Aaron Dobson, Daron Harmon, Josh Boyce is a guy, Andy, you talked about off air. No Danny Amendola tonight, most likely. So Julian Edelman probably gets the start out there. But does that give up more of an opportunity to Josh Boyce?
I hope so.
Maybe get some reps in the slot, see what he can do. So I think there's roles that someone might be able to grab a hold of tonight.
The slot is big tonight.
The slot.
Because the slot receivers with Amendola out. And Logan Ryan, you're right. Last week we saw some of him in the slot. Maybe we'll see a little higher level rep with him in the slot. And I'd love to see that because the whole Marquise Cole thing scares the hell out of me. And as this has unfolded, it's like Marquise Cole's back in the slot. Arrington's on the outside. Marquise Cole's in the slot. Last time I saw that, it didn't work out very well.
Yeah, and with Ryan, you still have, last week he had the flash with the pick six. He also flashed the other way with a bad completion that he allowed at the end of the first half.
Very negative.
But the first, the whole week goes by.
I'm trying to be all positive over here. Logan Ryan making a leap, and this guy's he gave up a long pass.
I believe you were the one that were termed, quote, naturally negative.
Let's be honest.
End quote.
If we're going to start getting rid of DBs on this team who give up long passes.
Then you would have to go.
Everybody's gone, because there's not a single DB out there who hasn't given
Thank
up
you,
a
Kevin.
Bomb.
No, my point that I was trying to make is Ryan has played an awful lot of snaps in these first two preseason games, and now another week has gone by of practice where Ross Idaling and Alfonso Dennard have done little to nothing in terms of any kind of teamwork. They've been out there, but they've been rehabbing on the lower field. When the team drills happen, they're not part of it. So this is another week that Ryan is probably going to be, at worst, your third cornerback. Another big opportunity for him. Does he make a guy like Dowling expendable? I don't know. Possibly.
You're done.
I am done. There's a lot of hand gesturing going on in the background. I'm not a professional. Sometimes
just want to know. I never know.
Sometimes I can't nail that down yet. I can't.
Paul just stop and he just looks straight ahead.
I can't find
Andy's attention for his real radio hit.
Okay, there we go.
I actually was done with my point.
So was that crackling? I didn't want to cut it. You were doing?
That was me getting your attention.
Oh.
That snapped us out of it there for a minute as well. This is
You're a professional. You're supposed to ignore all of that.
You can hear the talk in one ear and keep going in the other.
You flash a bright light at me.
Andy and I, it's just like, what's that now?
Yeah.
When you talk to us, it's like, what?
Well, Fred will actually repeat everything I say in his ear, you know, or anything I type on the chat.
Take Tim 20-man on line five. What?
he's like Ron Burgundy.
And this is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, where we do encourage you to be social, which means you can call us on this program. 855-PATS-500 is the toll-free number, which is 855-728-7500. You can also reach us at 508-298-0398. Send in your emails, your questions, your comments, anything Patriots related at webradio@patriots.com. And if you're on Twitter, getting ready for preseason game number 3, make sure you're using hashtag PPGS. PPGS is the hashtag you want to be using on Twitter. Thank you. That is the Twitter sound effect. Patriots and Lions.
Can't fight through it as well as you think you can.
Yeah,
huh?
No, I mean, that sound, we got to change that sound effect too. Can I put in a request for that, Kevin?
But isn't that an actual Twitter sound effect?
That is not an actual.
Yeah, it is. It absolutely is.
That is?
Yeah.
What does that specific sound effect have to do with
like
Twitter?
Like a new tweet on your feed.
Yeah.
I don't have that.
It actually comes from Twitter, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
That's like,
well, then I guess
mail.
It has to.
You've
stay.
Got mail or whatever. It's their little version of that.
All right. Well, that's what it is. So the Twitter sound effect stays. So send out your tweets.
Because it's the Twitter sound effect.
Hashtag PPGS Patriots Lions tonight at Ford Field. It was not a gentle experience for the Patriots the last time they went to Ford Field in the preseason. They're back there tonight. And when it comes to Tom Brady, we saw him play last week. We talked about it prior to that game. How much does he play tonight? Is it going to be, you know, I expect coming out in the second half after going in at halftime, but then how much more after that?
I think that'll depend on how they play. If they march right down the field and have a nice drive, I think they're done. If not, if it's ugly, if it's three and out, if Bill doesn't like it, I think they could stay back for another drive. I think that'll depend solely on how they compete out there against the Lions. It's interesting how this preseason is sort of, you know, last week we had the Bucs, and it was sort of a replay of them getting after the Bucs and putting Freeman under pressure and kind of getting at the defense. You're excited. Oh, are they going to be a defense that can get after the quarterback some? And, you know, we'll see if this week replicates a couple years ago where, you know, the bottom kind of fell out. And our you should know that our boss, Fred Kirsch, dreams of the perfect preseason because he dreams of them someday becoming the first team ever to go perfect from August straight through February. He doesn't just want 19-0. He wants 23-0 someday down the line, just so you know.
So that
so he
these
says
games
he,
actually matter in terms of wins.
He's a little disappointed every year, he admitted to us, when they lose a preseason game because it wipes out the opportunity to go perfect from preseason straight on through. He's a little weird. I'll be honest.
It bothers him.
Preseason losses. Okay,
he's out of his mind.
I mean, it would be cool if someone ever did pull that off.
You know what else would be cool?
Do that, but
19-0.
Yeah, that would be. I don't think anybody would give a rat's ass. 19-0 would be just as cool.
0-4 that would lead into 19-0.
That would even be
more
interesting.
No one would have a problem with that. No one would ever say, "Damn, I just wish we won those four games in August."
I think it'd be more impressive to go 0-4 and then go 19-0.
So you won't be impressed this year if they go 19-0.
No, I just won't be. I just won't be as impressed if they were to go 0-4 in the preseason.
Because they were good in the preseason too. That's not impressive.
Turn it around and then go 19-0. That to me would be even more impressive. It'd be a bigger feat.
You know what would be impressive for me tonight? Josh Boyce running by somebody. I really want to see Josh Boyce just go right by somebody
fast,
like I did. What was it about now? 3 weeks ago, Paul, where I saw it happen once in practice, and I've been living on that in my memory bank.
It's about the third day of practice.
I want to see the guy who's crazy, scary, fast use it. Do it. I don't want to see him catching little screens at the line of scrimmage and fighting for 4.5, 5 yards.
This is going to sound picky because the offense has been so good. I think they've had 4 drives, the first offense, 3 touchdowns. So they've been really, really good. I'd like to see the same production, only a little bit more mix of the 3 rookie receivers involved in it. The first week, there was one of the touchdown drives was all runs with the 60-plus yard run by Ridley, the big play. Then there were a couple of catches for Tompkins on the second one, but, you know, short catches, not inconsequential. They were good plays by Tompkins, But we saw a little from Dobson, nothing from Boyce. Then the second week, it was all Amendola on the touchdown drive. I think he had six catches in the two drives, and including a touchdown catch. I'd like to see Dobson, like Andy said, just, you know, run me a 15-yard out and be open on the sideline and catch it like it's supposed to look. Boyce, the way Andy said, let me see one of those plays. Tompkins, let me see a little bit more. Let me see you get down the field a little bit. We know you can catch underneath now. Let me see you do something else. I like to see those three rookies, you know, catch a pass or two. I mean, obviously they can't all catch six, but give me a pass or two for each of those three guys with Brady, and that'll make me feel a little bit better.
Whereas last week you had Dobson on the field for just two snaps.
Yeah, he didn't play with Brady.
He didn't play with him. He didn't have the time on the field with him, so there was no building there going on in a game situation because the guy wasn't on the field.
Yeah, and that was a continuation of what we saw during the week. The joint practices with Tampa Bay, he wasn't really a big part of the ones. I know that Bill doesn't have any ones right now, but the group that
training
was
training camp is not over.
The group with Tom Brady, Aaron Dobson wasn't part of that last week, and I'd like to see him be part of that this week.
Paul, they're already chiming in the discussion on Twitter here.
Okay, good.
Straits Frangules says, tell Paul to turn his mic down. He's too loud.
Kevin, you need to turn my mic down. Evidently, I'm too loud.
Says Straits Frangules.
Okay.
On Twitter.
I also heard we were having problems with the...
I think that's
Ferrer told me we were having some kind of problem.
Oh, that's good.
He said if you're having trouble listening to the show, refresh and it should fix it.
Do a refresh.
Shift F5.
Yeah, do that right now.
Alt.geek.ferrera.
The number for you, 855-PATS-500 or 508-298-0398. Let's get into some of these calls. We already have some people waiting, including Zach, who is calling us all the way from Australia. Hi, Zach.
Good day, mate.
Hello.
Zach.
Top of the night.
How's
or
going?
Morning or whatever it is. What time is it there?
Yeah, 7:30 in the morning. Well, quarter past 7 in the morning, yeah.
Yeah, good day.
She's pretty early, so how you guys going?
We're doing great. You drinking some Fosters?
That's a bit early for that, mate.
Ah, you never know. So what do you got excited? What are
but
you excited for?
It's 12 o'clock somewhere, and where we are, it's 5:30. So,
well, what are you excited about on the other side of the world tonight, today, this morning, whatever?
This morning, yeah, football.
I hear you, bro.
I'm on my way to work actually, so yeah, so it's pretty, you know, thing. I just ringing to say that I was joining in on the pregame social.
Nice. Well, you know, I don't know what you do for work, but if you have a computer, you can watch the game on Patriots.com. Our little secret, just between you and I.
Yeah, I'd love to, but I'm busy working. But yeah, I may be able to get home and watch it, but I'd love to. But I was going to ask a question, you know. Like over here, there's not many football fans. You know, there's not a huge amount of people that get into football. But whenever I do meet someone, I ask them, oh, so who do you go for? And they'll say, oh, you know, Chicago Bears or something like that. And whenever I say that I go for the Patriots, everyone always says they hate me. Why?
Because they're so good and so dominant. You know, I think we've seen that. I mean, 5 Super Bowls in the last, whatever it is, 11 years. And, we've talked about that Yankee effect. They've lived that for the last decade, where everybody hates the team that's always winning and always on top. And, you know, some of it has to do with Belichick. He rubs people the wrong way, and I think that's part of it. But I think the biggest thing is people like to root against the dominant team. That's why Paul hates Michigan and those big-name schools. Right, Paul?
I don't hate all big-name schools.
Oh.
I just hate Big Ten schools.
Oh. I thought you hated Duke, too. And
Duke basketball. That's different.
Well, Duke football's irrelevant.
But I root for them.
But big successful teams are ones that generally
I like Florida State.
Continuous winning.
Get some pushback.
No, but Florida State, for example, I like. That's a big perennial power.
Yeah.
I always like Bobby Bowden.
They've fallen off.
They're not what they used to be.
The post-Bowden
I used to
era.
Love Nebraska in the Tom Osborne days.
Oh, well. Andre is in Washington State. He's in Washington State tonight, and he's checking in with the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Hey, Andre, what's up?
Hey. I'm also on my way to work. Actually, I'll be gone in about an hour, so before the game starts. I work fast food, so no laptop for me.
Can you send some that fast food across the country? We could use a little sustenance.
Yeah, of course. I'll send you some free Mexi fries and a meat burrito.
What are you looking for tonight, Andre?
You know, for the past 5 or 6 years, it's been weird, right? You know, we always look forward to our passing game. And it's been the running game that's been, you know, having a drought. And it's actually really funny that, you know, for the first preseason in about 5 or 6 years, we're actually, you know, looking towards, you know, our next generation of receivers. And so that's a big question mark for me. I want to know, you know, what rookies will, you know, be in the second or third receiving slots, like Dobson, Tompkins, Boyce. You know, I want to see who makes their mark. You know, we saw Sudfeld, but, you know, I want to see more from our receivers.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I'm right along with you. That's exactly what I'm looking for tonight. Number one on my list.
Yeah. And also, you know, there's also questions with the running game. You know, who's going to get the last slot? Do we keep all of the running backs, or do we get rid of LeGarrette Blount, or do we get rid of maybe Bolden? You know, that's also a question mark.
How about Leon Washington?
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is, he's a veteran. I don't see him leaving, but I mean, he's broke all kinds of records. You know, he's one of the best return guys in the league, and that's what, you know, that's what we traded for when we, you know, went to negotiations with Seattle. So if we drop him, that's really just a waste.
Yeah, no, listen, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I do think that he's worth putting in that discussion. I think all five are going to make it. And that's what I would do if I were the coach. I think that those five guys are among your 53 best players. But I think it's fair, based on what we've seen in the summer, to include Washington in that race, because I don't feel like kickoff returns is as big as it was in the past, obviously before the rule changes, number one. And number two, I've been unimpressed so far with kickoff returns. I don't think they look any different than they did in the past. Now, maybe we can blame that on scheme and not the returner. Obviously, Washington is an accomplished kickoff returner. Do you think there's any chance, Beadle, that Washington is on the bubble?
I was going to say that I think he is on the bubble, just based on what we've seen in the preseason, in the games at least. I don't think he's shown anything that makes you say this guy has to make the team.
Yeah, hasn't taken any snaps on offense.
No,
in
which
the games.
Is which is the part where you say, are they going to be willing to keep this guy specifically as a special teamer and not being in that split role of being a returner and then also being a guy you mix in as a running back? So far, it hasn't appeared that way.
I'll tell you why I would keep him. Shane Vereen is a guy I'm extremely high on. I think we all are. I think he's a very gifted player, but durability has been an issue. And if you lose him, Washington is a guy that can, I think, replicate some of those things. I don't think Bolden or Blount is going to give you that kind of a dynamic out of the backfield.
But we can agree that either Bolden or Blount is going to make this team.
Oh, yeah.
So the question is, which one of the two? If you're keeping Leon
Washington,
if I'm
only keeping one,
you've got to get one
of
those.
No, see, I'm keeping all five.
You're keeping five of them.
Yeah, I'm keeping all five. But if I had to get rid of one, I think I would get rid of Blount.
If I had to get rid of one, it would be Bolden.
Yeah, listen, you can convince me of that. I'm not in love with any.
I mean, they're similar. They're similar in style, but I think that what you saw two games ago was. I'm not discounting that. I'm not discounting that for Blount, and I know that if you look at his history, his problems have come off the field for sure. There have been some issues with him, with teammates, et cetera. But
I'm more worried about on the field.
But if we're just looking at him on the field, I would rather have him on the field as opposed to Bolden.
Yeah,
I mean, because with
fair argument.
And not only that, I mean, you look at Bolden in the past, he's had some injuries, he's had a suspension.
He has.
I'm not sold on that guy either.
There's risk on both guys. There's no question. Probably the more talented player is probably Blount. I worry about his ball security and, you know, just I know that Bill seems to like the big back. I don't. And that's why I think Bolden's more versatile. I don't think Blount catches the ball all that well out of the backfield, although I think he did have a catch last week. I think Bolden is more versatile, and I would go with him. But I think there's no reason to keep not to keep them both. I think that there's a role. Depth at running back always seems to be an issue. I think you're always looking for another running back at some point. I don't see any reason why you wouldn't want to hold on to them,
both of them. This is a game that I think something like that you can actually take something away from. In terms of that position, that's one of the positional battles where in the third preseason game we might learn something about that position tonight.
Very, very possible, because you're going to – I think we're all in agreement that you're going to see the offense into the third quarter. That should give Blount and Bolden opportunities to get in there behind Ridley. If you get 2.5 quarters of play. I think there should be enough snaps to go around in a preseason setting, and you see where they stand in the coach's eyes. It's interesting. You know, we haven't talked about James Devlin at all. And I know that he's listed as a fullback, but I think that he could factor into that sort of tight end equation.
Well, I was going to say, he's kind of versatile, you know? Because last week we saw him at one point not just lined up as a tight end. He was lined up wide on one play.
Yeah, they had a couple of plays where there was split backs. Yeah. He was the lead blocker. He carried the ball a couple of times in short yardage, picked him up. I think you could get him to do maybe that versatile who-man role for cheaper if they're looking to save money. I don't like that. I don't like making roster moves strictly on money basis, unless it's a situation where you have two guys that are, you know, roughly the same and there's a dramatic $5 million difference in their salary.
Right.
That's not the case here. You're looking at a young player who might be developing over a guy who's not making a tremendous amount. I think he's making like $1.3 million or something like that in the who-man. I don't think that's enough money to base my decision on, but I think Devlin has shown some versatility, as you pointed out, with some of the different things that he did last week.
It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. I'm Mark Bertrand alongside Paul Perillo. Andy Hart just stepped out momentarily. He'll be back with us as we talk about this Patriots-Lions matchup tonight, what we're going to learn from this game, what are some of the positional battles that we could get some info on and really see which direction things are going for this Patriots game. Preseason game number 3, which means the starters or the ones or whatever you want to call them, the first team guys, will get a lot of playing time in this game tonight.
I like to call them the group that played with Tom Brady.
The Tom Brady.
That way,
group.
Everybody knows who you're talking about.
The Tom Brady.
And then you're not
group.
Calling them the first team.
You're not violating any rules.
No.
Any rules about what you can call those players.
No.
So if you want to jump on board, 855-PATS-500 is the toll free number. 855-PATS-500 or 508-298-0398. Don't forget to send out your tweets leading up to this game tonight. Hashtag them with hashtag PPGS. And you can send us an email too. webradio@patriots.com. Some open lines for you. Again, 855-PATS-500. That's where Chester in Oregon reaches us tonight. He's up next. Hi, Chester.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How you doing?
Doing well.
Mark with the C. Welcome to the team, my friend.
Thank you.
I appreciate you the first couple times because you were running tardy, but from what I hear, that's going to change. Anyway, just quickly, I wanted to touch base with you. I had some topics on my mind, but as far as the running back committee, you know, I think we got to keep all five, and in my opinion, I think Bolden's got to be the odd man out. You know, just to speak to your point, Paulie, about special teams and Breen, I think that speaks to Edelman as well. You know, we've got to keep a guy like that fresh also, and just to kind of piggyback on that point, I think we've got to stick with Blunt as a clear-cut power option, and, you know, again, I've said all along we've been missing on that. But, you know, as far as my points for this game, I'm keeping a close eye on this offensive line. With that Detroit front up front in that first quarter, you know, namely on the third and short. I've got my concerns about Ndamukong Suh and just keeping 12 upright. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how we, you know, kind of play on that and seeing a formidable front four there on that end. I'm also going to keep an eye on the cornerback coverage with Megatron. You know, if we get exposed early, it's just going to be ugly. I feel like the bleeding is going to continue going into the regular season on that end. And lastly, you know, I just really want to see this front seven continue to stay opportunistic, and I think that's really going to continue our efforts on defense and keeping that coverage game intact. But that's all I got. Getting fired up for game day. Over and out, fellas. Take it easy.
All right, Chester. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
That's how Chester does it, by the way.
A lot of good stuff in
that's
there.
That's how he rolls. He just comes in, he gives his take, he gets in, he gets out, and then he lets you
hot
talk
fire.
About it.
Hot fire right there.
Absolutely.
Here's a question, that a couple of things that he mentioned there. Ndamukong Suh, is that a guy you have to worry about in the preseason injuring your quarterback like you do in a regular season game?
With his
game?
Chippiness, you mean?
I mean, the guy is a little bit
that's
crazy.
How he plays. Yeah, he plays on the edge, no question. He's a chippy, cheap, I would call him dirty.
Oh, he is dirty, yeah.
Yeah, and I would worry about it in the preseason, too. You know, I don't think he necessarily goes out there predetermined, I'm going to try to take a run at Tom tonight. But I think that's the way he plays.
No, see,
and
I don't.
It happens.
I don't think he goes out there saying specific guys like it's Tom Brady I'm going after him. I think he has the same mentality every week that I'm taking a run at every quarterback that's on the field with me.
And I do think that's a concern.
That's scary.
Now, you know, to further that a little bit, and not necessarily meaning to denigrate anybody, but he would be lined up over the right guard spot, which is the one spot that's a little bit in flux. Because you've had Will Svitek playing there, who they thought was just going to serve as the swing tackle. He's been starting at right guard because Dan Conley's been hurt. Marcus Cannon's been hurt. Now, there's reports on the Twitter, as they say. Dan Conley has made the trip, so maybe we see his debut tonight. If so, that doesn't make me feel all that much better because now you have a rusty guy who's really done nothing in terms of contact for 3+ weeks dealing with Sue. So that is one thing to keep in mind tonight. And I agree with your assessment of Sue, Mark, in that he just plays that way. He goes out there, he runs around, and he's looking to take runs at people. I mean, it just happens. I don't think that he probably necessarily goes and says, I want to play dirty.
Maybe he's subconscious.
I think that's the way it comes out. He knows no other way to play. And he had a couple of hits in one of the the first preseason week, and I forget the individuals involved now, but they were borderline. One hit on the sideline, and one was a little bit late. So that's going to surround him. That's how he plays.
That's a guy you got to look for on every single play.
I think you do.
Every single play, you have to be worried about that guy. We got plenty of things we're going to talk about here as we get ready for preseason game number 3 on Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. We have open lines for you if you want to check in with a phone call, 855-PATS-500 or 508-298-0398. Send in an email if you would like at webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. The email address, keep those tweets coming as well with the hashtag PPGS as we get ready for preseason game number 3 between the Patriots and the Lions in Detroit. Coming to you live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. And again, that Ace Ticket hotline is 508-298-0398 or toll free at 855-PATS-500. We're going to go behind enemy lines. Coming up next, we'll talk to Tim Twentyman, the senior writer for Lions.com. That's next. Don't go anywhere.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest prices on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. With power comes responsibility, and NRG has taken that responsibility to new heights by evolving the way sustainable energy is discussed and used in the 21st century. With 3,000 state-of-the-art solar panels installed at Patriot Place, we've transformed the open-air retail complex next to Gillette Stadium into a visually stunning, self-sustaining destination that generates 60% of its own power. NRG is proud to be the official energy provider for Patriot Place, Gillette Stadium, and the New England Revolution.
You know the view from New England.
I'm defending the Patriots.
But what about the view from the other side?
It is what it is.
Time now to go behind enemy lines.
That's the one. We're going behind enemy lines here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. It's a hot mic you got in front of you there, Paul. We're live.
Yeah,
it's live radio.
I haven't said anything.
Oh, you did prior to me talking, but no.
How long has thing been hot over there?
Just watch yourself over there. I don't want you to say any naughty words.
I would have been in on Bradford, too. Double barrels? That's naughty.
I just wanted to make sure.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
Introduce Tim and be on your way.
All right. Let's go behind enemy lines and talk to the senior writer covering the Detroit Lions at Lions.com. Joining us now on the Ace Ticket Hotline, Tim Twentyman. Tim, how are you?
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good to talk to you. We were just talking a minute ago about Ndamukong Suh. Let me ask you, do you think Ndamukong Suh plays with the same level, chippiness, borderline dirtiness in the preseason that he does in the regular season?
Well, he plays hard. He plays hard every play, and really what they've been trying to do is reel that in from whistle to whistle and not get some of the post-whistle penalties. He got one last week against Cleveland, but, you know, this team's never going to slow him down. They've never asked him to slow him down, to slow down. They want him to play smarter, don't get the penalties. But Ndamukong Suh is Ndamukong Suh. He's going to play hard, give you 110%. It's just if they can contain it between the whistles.
Tim, for those of us who haven't been following necessarily day-to-day in the Lions camp there, what exactly are we going to see tonight? Is Calvin Johnson going to be out there? And what's the health and some of the other key players on the team look like?
Yeah, you know, Calvin said he wanted to play, but I suspect that they're going to err on the side of caution on that one. He did go through some routes, did some work, here before the game, but I just don't see them taking a chance on that knee. He's too valuable to this offense. Louis Delmas, their star safety, he's another guy who they've been kind of monitoring his practice time because of a knee injury through camp. He said he wanted to play this week, and I expect that they'll maybe give him a shot. They've got a new safety in Glover Quinn, and I think they'd like to see those two together with their starting secondary, a secondary that struggled the first 2 weeks. So I could see Lou, you know, at least getting a few series out there tonight. It'll be his first action of the preseason.
What overall, last year the Lions, Tim, lost a ton of close games in a variety of ways. How do they sort of turn those around? Where does this team stand halfway through the preseason? Where do you see this team going? Are the Lions going to be a big test tonight for the Patriots?
Yeah, well, they hope so. You know, I think they played 2 years ago, and it was a 34-10 Lions victory. It was this third preseason game. It was this, you know, dry run for the regular season. They kind of spearheaded them into that 5-0 start and that playoff appearance, and I think they're treating this game the same way. You know, the Lions this offseason, their biggest deficiency last year was on defense. They had 0 points from their defense last year. I'll say that again, no points. There were no plays from their defense last year. They went out and got a Glover Quinn. They went and drafted Ziggy Ansah, and I think that's the difference with this team. You see a little bit more hands-on balls. Ziggy Ansah had an interception and a touchdown in his first series as a professional. So that's really the biggest difference with this team is they think they've got playmakers on defense that can make a change, and they'll get a good test against Tom Brady and company tonight.
As Coach Belichick likes to call him, Schwartzy, what's his status? I mean, is he thought of as the long-term coach in Detroit, or is he in sort of a prove-it mode with fans and everybody in that area right now?
Well, I think he's got to prove it. You know, he signed the extension last offseason after the playoff run. You know, everybody thought that was great. They had found their guy, and then this team struggled to 4-12 and lost their last eight games. And you know, I think the word Jim Schwartz has used this offseason and leading into the season is urgency. I think there's an urgency on his part to turn this around and show that last year was just kind of one of those anomalies, and that this team is really closer to the 2011 team and not the 2012 team. So, you know, I think this team needs to be playing meaningful games in December. And if they do that, then Jim Schwartz will be fine.
Reggie Bush is another guy I wanted to ask you about, Tim. Where does he fit into this offense? Seems like a different kind of running back than they've had there. How has he sort of worked on specifically with the passing game with Stafford? Has that been a connection that the Patriots might need to chase tonight?
Yeah, that's where you hit the nail on the head there, is the passing game. You know, he caught five passes for 44 yards last week, and that's really where we're going to see the biggest impact with him. He's got that speed element that they've been missing since Javid Best, you know, hasn't played because of those concussions. Jim Schwartz, leading into this season, said Reggie could catch 60 to 70 to 80, even 80 passes in this offense. I think when you combine him with Calvin Johnson and Brandon Pettigrew and Ryan Broyles, there's certainly going to be a lot of chances for him to get into space. And you just look at those five catches last week. If you project that over a 16-game season, that's 80 catches. So I think he's going to make his biggest impact in the passing game. And you guys will see that tonight. They like to do a lot of different things. They'll split him out of the backfield into the slot, try to get him matched up against a linebacker. And that's one thing that Coach Belichick and that defense will have to watch for.
Obviously, the rap on Matthew Stafford is the record against winning teams, or the lack of success against winning teams. What does he need to do to get over that hump and then insert himself sort of in that conversation of whatever it is, top five quarterbacks in the NFL?
Sure, that's it. You know, he admits that. After he signed the deal and talked to the media, he said, look, I can't be put in that group of quarterbacks with the Tom Brady's and the Peyton Mannings and the Eli Mannings, because I haven't won anything. Those are winning quarterbacks, and he knows that the next step for him is winning. I mean, stats are great, and 10,000 yards and all this kind of stuff is great, but if you don't win on the football field, all that matters real little. So he realizes, and I think they've put some pieces around him. You know, he's had Calvin, but he hasn't had that dynamic speed guy in the backfield. He hasn't had a run game. I mean, here's a stat to throw at you guys. They ran 1,160 plays last year. 855 of those were against six-man boxes or fewer. Now, that's really an amazing stat. And out of that, they had four runs of 20-plus yards against favorable boxes. So, you know, they need that explosive element in their run game. I think that'll help Matthew out. They need, you know, some more explosive plays out of their receivers, especially a number two receiver. They need a guy to emerge outside Calvin. And if they get some of those things, they view that it's not so much Matthew, but it's getting the right pieces around him. And that's when we'll start to see the wins.
Is that the biggest thing for Stafford? You think is it less on him and more on the guys around him? How much of that do you put on the quarterback and how much the circumstances around him with the team?
Well, I think it's a combination of both. You certainly can't, you know, leave all the blame on the other guys. Matthew has to own up to some of that as well. He made, you know, sometimes he didn't make the greatest of plays. You know, all this stuff about his mechanics and all this other stuff, I think that stuff's overblown. You know, I can name another guy who didn't have real good mechanics as Brett Favre. I certainly don't want to put those two guys in the same sentence yet, but you know what I mean. He's kind of that backyard quarterback. He's a playmaker. And I think if you get guys who can make plays around him and allow him to get some open receivers and use some of that playmaking ability that he has, this team will win. He needs to play better. They need to get weapons around him, and I think they think that they found the combination of both this offseason.
He is Tim Twentyman, Detroit Lions senior writer and insider. You could follow him at lions.com and follow him on Twitter as well, at T20man. Tim, thanks for the time tonight. We appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. Anytime, guys. Good luck.
Thanks, Tim. Take care.
Tim Twentyman joining us from behind enemy lines on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
So Calvin's not going to play, and Matthew won't have all his weapons, and Reggie, he's a first-namer guy.
Yeah. Well, I think when you're a big-timer, that's what you do, like Burt Breer. He's a first-name guy, too.
Yeah.
I'm very disappointed. I knew that Calvin Johnson was 50-50 at best tonight, and I figured 50-50, that's stupid. You're not going to play.
Right.
But, you know.
That's no fun.
Sounds like
I'm disappointed. saying that he's not going to play.
Taleb and Johnson.
Do you believe that Reggie Bush is really the explosive guy that Detroit has been lacking? And Reggie Bush is going to turn things around for him?
I think Reggie Bush is pretty good. I think I probably think more of Reggie Bush than some other people. I think what he did with Miami the last 2 years in an offense that was completely devoid of weapons was pretty impressive.
Yeah, I think
he's a solid player.
I don't think he's going to be the guy that's going to turn the fortunes around.
Well, no, the guy who turned
that.
Whoa.
I mean, the way Tim made it sound was that like they were missing that one piece.
No, but
right?
he's not saying that has to be the focal piece. The focal piece is Johnson and Stafford. But if you have a guy that can take advantage of the opportunities, I got a little confused when he threw out the numbers, but clearly they had the opportunity to run against a lot of pass defenses and didn't turn into plays. Reggie Bush can turn those into plays.
Yeah, I mean, it was 860-something out of 1,100-something that were against six-man boxes, and they only had three runs or something like that of 20 yards or more. That's ridiculous. You need to take advantage of that kind of, you know, like that was what the Patriots had in opening day in Tennessee last year when the Titans just completely went at them in nickel and dime packages, and the Patriots ran it down their throat. You need to do that. You need to make teams pay for that. And obviously Detroit wasn't doing it.
So the telephone number 855-PATS-500. We've got open lines for you. If you want to jump on board, send your tweets in PPGS with the hashtag PPGS. Also email us webradio@patriots.com. We have Darren Hartwell in the
Poll Center.
That's all it is, just the Poll Center. Plain old.
It's not
poll
sponsored.
Center.
We have yet
it's
to sponsor.
It's the Williams College Poll Center.
There for a minute,
it's the Purple Cow Poll Center.
Thinking maybe there was something else to that, but no, it's just the Poll Center. What do you got, Darren? You got anything going on?
I don't know.
Apparently. He's not connected yet.
Oh, he's not connected.
Okay. I said, wait till I tell you.
That was quite a
I got a hand motion to go to Darren.
That was quite a build up there.
I give you a hand motion?
No, it wasn't your
I'm going to give you a hand motion in a minute.
He's over there in the poll center. He's gearing up to get things
ready.
He's
prepping, yes.
He's not currently connected, but when he is ready with the poll, which you can get to on Facebook at the New England Patriots Facebook
page.
I love
poll, don't you, Bertrand?
I also liked the fact that Tim brought up, you know, getting hands on balls, which is one of our favorite phrases here on the PPGS.
Yes. Just got to grab them, man.
Yeah, yeah.
508-298-0398.
Star safety, Louis Thomas and Grover Quinn.
Jump Lou. Still competing. Yeah, she called him Lou later.
Balls. And right now I'm intrigued by that competition.
And 855-PATS-500. We do have some calls waiting. Want to get to those. Zach is in New Hampshire, and he's up next. What's up, Zach?
Hey, guys. What's up?
How you doing?
Great. I'm doing great. I have a question for you guys.
We would like to answer your question, so ask it.
Love to hear it.
Okay. Rob Gronkowski, do you think he'll start on the PUP list this season?
That's a great question you actually have, and I can't answer it because I do not know. I think that is a question that no one knows the answer to at this point. Maybe not even Bill Belichick.
Strictly speculation, but I'm going to say yes. But I agree with Andy. It's impossible. We actually talked about this when Andy and I are going to have to be part of the preseason broadcast tonight. This was one of the things that we sort of discussed. You know, where does Gronkowski end up to open the season, and how does that impact other roster decisions? And I said that's a great topic to talk about, but no one can do so with any degree of certainty other than Bill Belichick.
And you're right.
Maybe even Belichick doesn't know right now.
And it's interesting because if he makes the roster, he's automatically – it's not like you'd eliminate a tight end because he's not going
to
be healthy. You need to keep them. So he's almost taking two roster spots, the one he occupies and the one that the backup has to play in week one and week two, however long that goes into the season. So – you know, in my roster projection on Patriots.com, I just put them on PUP because it's easier. That way it's easier to make the roster out. But it's a massive decision that Belichick has to make because he's that important. If you get two games with him, that's important. It's not like, you know, Dan Conley, say it was a question with him. You put him on PUP. He's a right guard. Who cares? Will Svitek is fine. Gronk can be the difference of winning and losing. And oh, by the way, you have a very difficult three-game stretch in games 4-6 against the Falcons, the Bengals, and the Saints, I believe it is. Three games you could lose. Three games where you're going to need a great player.
It's like when you get the 4 to 6 week, you know, timetable. There's a huge difference between 4 and 6 weeks.
Yeah, in the NFL, that means make the playoffs. Well, don't make the playoffs.
Especially in a sport like football where you only play 16 games.
Right.
Correct.
From being at the game last week, Sudfeld looked amazing. Do you think he'll fill the role?
No.
No?
Well, I mean, he'll play it, but he's not going to fill it. He's not going to be Gronk.
He's not going to be the same.
I mean, you're talking about, I've said this in the past, in my opinion, arguably the most irreplaceable player in the National Football League in Rob Gronkowski, because there is no one on the planet that I've seen that's like him, that has the athleticism, the size, the hands, the blocking ability, all of it in that combination, I think is almost borderline irreplaceable. He's that unique.
Let's go to Uzo in Houston, who's been waiting patiently. Hello, Uzo.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going well. What do you got?
I have a question about Tim Tebow. I know everybody knows how horrible he is at quarterback, and people have tried to, speculate as how he could be a running back or a tight end, fullback or a tight end. But is there a possibility that he might be used on defense, maybe as a defensive end or linebacker or something? I don't know if anybody has talked about this yet.
Nope.
And if he has the, required skill set.
He has the mold, sure, to be a linebacker. He's a pretty big guy. He could probably bulk up. But why would we just assume that he could play defense? He's always played offense. I still say the only transition I've ever put any credence into is a power running back. If you said to me, okay, we're going to try to just have him take handoffs and run between the tackles because he's proven he can run with the football. Other than that, he can't catch, that I know of. He can't block, that I know of. He can't tackle, that I know of. So, what leads you to believe other than just, he looks good in a shirt, and I could get 8 million people off the planet Earth that look like they could be a linebacker?
Paul's not even going to give an answer on this.
Well, I mean, I think Andy touched on it. I covered it all. The whole Tim Tebow at another position thing sort of rankles me, and I'm not going to lie about it. It does. It bothers me because I would understand if we saw him do different things. And then said, he looks comfortable with the ball in his hand in space, or I've seen him catch some passes, or in this particular case, I've seen him run down on special teams and make tackles in the open field, so that translates. I guess you never know. I mean, why would I have said Julian Edelman could play a serviceable defensive back for you until he did a couple of years ago? And he did. He did fine. Matter of fact, tackling was one of his better attributes, I thought.
Certainly.
So I'm not going to sit here and say Tim Tebow can't play linebacker. He can't tackle. My question is, why do we want him to play linebacker when we have no idea if he can handle that kind of physicality? It's a different physicality than running with the ball.
Do you want to be the hammer or do you want to be the nail?
It's a whole different thing. So I'm not a big fan of the whole let's put Tim Tebow at some other position. I would like to just say, you know what? We thought there was something there to develop. We were wrong. That's what I would like.
Yeah, I would prefer that happen, like yesterday.
Well, I know you do.
Let's go back to the phones again. The telephone number, 855-PATS-500, is the toll-free number, and 508-298-0398. Also the number you can reach us on the Ace Ticket Hotline here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. We'll talk to Pratt in Maryland. No, we will not. Pratt, a little disconnection issue that I caused.
Oh, okay.
You hung up on him?
Pratt, give us a quick call back.
Pratt, get right back on.
The real
jump right
radio
back
guy
on
just
that.
Cut the guy off.
Cut the guy right off.
What did you do?
Hit the wrong button.
Doesn't it say, like, hang up? Drop?
Well, you hit air or drop, and sometimes you hit the wrong one. Made that mistake
because
you refused to host.
They're very close to one another. So.
I host like once a year.
It's just an accident. It was an accident,
and
Pratt.
No one calls you when you host.
Pratt, call us back, and we'll get right on that for you at 855-PATS-500.
Watching a little Little League baseball there, Beetle?
Yeah.
Watch any of this Little League
stuff? I have been watching a little bit of that.
Patriots pregame.
Want to do a pregame on that, too?
Yeah, I have a quick aside. It's bad enough that these games are all fully televised, even though I watch them quite frequently.
But he does want to talk about them.
I find it appalling that they have instant replay. Absolutely appalling.
Really?
Yeah, instant replay has been used twice now in this inning.
Well,
top of the inning and the bottom.
I am pro instant replay in all sports.
Well, at the professional level, by all means, I am pro replay. Yes.
Well, I mean, Paul, when they're putting your games on ESPN, on national television.
Yeah, I'm
plus the umpires are professionals.
They probably should
not.
Have some.
They don't get paid.
Replay.
These guys?
Yeah.
No, they're all volunteers.
I thought all.
That's part of the reason why I think it's appalling.
Well, I know in my league they get paid.
Children's
you get paid by the league to be a little.
You get paid.
But they don't get paid. These guys are all volunteers that go to the World Series.
Once they get to that point, they don't get.
They've
paid.
Already been paid. They're professionals. Ask Johnny Manziel.
But that's a ridiculous exaggeration to say that the $20 that they're making for being down there means they're professionals.
They took away Jim Thorpe's
Olympic medals for
less.
They're certainly not trained. They take a test.
Okay, now that we've wrapped up
the Little League portion
Little
of the
League
broadcast,
portion of the
we'll
show.
Get back to the Patriots game, the ever-important third preseason game.
Why don't we talk about this very important third
preseason?
Hey,
I already told you off the top, I think this is a make-or-break game right here. season's on the line.
Well, a couple years ago, it made the Lions.
It did.
Didn't break the Patriots.
Did not.
So.
Yeah, that actually didn't end up having a major impact on the outcome of the year, which was good. So the Patriots go back to Detroit tonight, and as we've heard, it appears that Calvin Johnson will not play. So there goes that out the window. One of the things we mentioned off the top, watching the Patriots pass defense, they're not going to have that guy on the field and playing, which
that's good.
Is good for the team in terms of winning and trying to get that perfect 23-0 season.
And not giving up, 20-yard plays and stuff like that.
But in terms of learning things about the guys that are going to be playing in that secondary, it would have been nice to have seen them against a top receiver. Would have been nice to have seen that.
Yeah, well, we've seen them against top receivers.
That's
Vincent
a big matchup.
Jackson, Deshaun Jackson.
I really would have liked to have seen it. Yeah, and what happened? They got beat. Akeem Talib got beat by Deshaun Jackson.
You're very negative.
And we want to see them get a little
really
bit better.
We really didn't get to see him against Vincent Jackson because, Josh Freeman was on his back.
Could have happened again.
I absolutely could have, but I would think with three quarters to work,
the better sample size.
Chances are, Stafford wouldn't have been sacked 27 times.
Okay, so let's get into the rotation. We know we're going to see the quote-unquote starters for two-plus quarters, but who are we going to see that's intriguing that breaks into that grouping? Whether it be the receivers. I talked about Boyce. Maybe he gets some run with Brady. Whether it be, another defensive end. Buchanan has been getting pretty quick reps
lately. I think Bernard is one of those guys.
Bernard. Logan Ryan, maybe he gets some corner reps. How does safety unfold? Because I find it hard to believe that basically 11 and 11 are going to go two-plus quarters. We're going to see some mixing and matching. Running back I would find interesting because it would seem that there is a battle still ongoing at running back, whether it's Leon Washington, who, by the way, let's see a kick return tonight that, goes more than 20 yards, and, Brandon Bolden. He hasn't really had his sort of, moment of the preseason. Ridley kind of had it. Vereen kind of had it. Blunt kind of had it.
You don't count the 30-yard run he had in the fourth quarter?
Not really.
No, not really.
Against the guy who's going to be washing my car next week?
Not really. While I'm not as nice as you.
When you had stepped out of the room, we did spend a lot of time talking running backs, and I'll ask you the same question I had asked Paul, which was if it comes down to Brandon Bolden or LeGarrette Blunt, which one are you taking? And are you going to carry all five of them? You're going to carry all the running backs?
I don't think I am. I think I would let Bolden go. To me, the reputation of Brandon Bolden.
The fascination,
I don't get the fascination.
What's the fascination with Brandon Bolden?
Yeah, he's been a nice little player as an undrafted guy, but he hasn't really done anything. He had one big game, and then he had some other issues that cost him basically the rest of his season. And Blunt, to me, is a proven multi-time lead back. He had a 1,000-yard season. He had whatever it was, 700 another year. He's proven he can be a guy if you need it. And if you're a guy that has concerns about Ridley's fumbles, don't you want that guy behind him? He's already shown that he can do something.
Well, I have concern about Blunt's fumbles. That's why I don't want him.
And that's fair. Well, maybe Bolden will be a fumbler if we ever find out if he plays.
Right.
That would be my
concern. I just think the reward,
but
I think the potential
my
reward
track record
Blunt,
that I
I'll
have,
take the 1,000-yard back who averaged 5.5 a carry over the guy who was once good against the Bills.
I think the reward is bigger than taking the risk.
Here's where the Felger comes out because you disagree with him. So he gets he'll get mad now.
I know how that feels.
So we'll go at it anyway because
we'll just go with the facts.
Because we haven't had one of these in a while, and every once in a while it's good to mix it up a little bit. When we talked about this when you were on the Sports Hub, Andy, I said,
Gresh didn't take any shots at you this week.
That's
weird.
That's unfortunate because I took a shot at him yesterday.
Sorry, Andy.
What we started with, and Mark is with you. Mark would take Blunt and
He's
let Bolden
man.
Go. We also talked about the possibility of Washington entering that equation as well. I don't think that he should be considered a lock, and we all agreed on that. I would agree that Blunt is the more talented player of Blunt and Bolden. I like Bolden as a backup's versatility. I think he can contribute on special teams. I think he can catch the ball. I don't think Blunt gives you really anything in those departments. And the fact that he has some ball security issues worries me. And that was my take on that.
Nah, I don't care for it.
So he ran for 1,000 yards and averaged 5 yards a carry 3 years ago.
Woo-hoo! Woo! I'm taking it. I'm buying on that.
He's poo-pooing it, but I find that mildly impressive. He's a 1,000-yard rusher. Whatever. It's not like a plotter. He didn't have this crappy season where he just had... he wasn't even the full-time starter all year. It wasn't a 16-game 1,000-yard season. It was like a 13-game 1,000-yard season. Averaged 5.5 a carry. As my backup running back, I think he can do worse.
Yeah. And you know what? I think that first game definitely skews it for me in terms of how I picture him. It definitely does. Yeah. It, I,
A garbage 50-yard run that's going to be a 4-yard loss
because
in a regular
season
game. Because
you know why? Because I think I had set the bar for that guy. I had set the bar for that guy so low that when I saw him in that game, I thought, wow, he looks a lot better than I ever thought he would look.
See, why would you set the bar so low?
Because I didn't expect a lot from him. Because I'm generally with you on guys like that when it comes to running backs. I think the position can be overvalued many times. Well, okay. I think running backs many times can be dime a dozen players.
Couldn't agree more.
And when you're looking at guys that have had issues and now they're getting older and maybe getting, I don't know, heavier, whatever you want to call them, I look at a guy like that and I say, oh, you can't expect anything from LeGarrette Blount when the Patriots brought him in. And then he went out on the field and he looked okay, which to me was a pleasant surprise.
I admit, I think he's a more talented running back than Bolden. I just think Bolden
it's not about the talent. We want less talented players.
No, I think Bolden gives you more. I don't think,
I mean, there is a case.
I don't think there's
a
dramatic difference between their running abilities.
Not a versatile guy.
Oh, no.
Not at all.
He's a backup running back.
That's what he is.
No question.
And part of this gets to our whole thing, and I do agree that he has – that long run that he had the other day is not just a complete aberration. He has made big plays. He was a big play guy occasionally with Tampa Bay, but he is more of that between the tackles, big plodding kind of pounder that I don't really like, that Bill seems to like. And I know, Andy, you...
What does Bill know?
You kind of like that. See, here's where he picks and chooses...
Why would you want a guy who gets 4 yards, 4 yards, 4 yards, 50 yards?
Here's where he picks and chooses the
things that... Who would want that?
...that he aligns himself with Bill on.
Let's get the playmaker, Brandon Bolden.
Ridiculous.
Go to Pratt.
Ridiculous.
Pratt's back, and we hung up on Pratt. And
well,
that was,
try not to do it again.
I say we, as in, did not. When I say we, I mean I. I accidentally hung up on Pratt. Pratt, thank you for calling back.
Hey, guys.
What's happening?
This is Pratt, and I have my wife, Lydia, with me.
Hello, Lydia. All right,
hi.
Then.
Hi.
Hey. Andy, relax.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Not too bad. Now, you feel better now after you called back because our rude host hung up on you?
Yes.
What are you excited about tonight?
We're excited to watch the game. It's going to be on Patriots.com. It's going to be streaming video, right?
You're damn Skippy, where you can see Paul and Andy.
That's right. We can't wait to watch the game, and we're excited. And this is how I see it. Let's keep all five running backs, all four tight ends, all six wide receivers, maybe 9 or 10 offensive linemen, and get rid of that third quarterback.
That seems to be a common fan.
Thanks for the call, Pratt.
As people are doing their roster projections and, you know, Tebow's making it or even discussion of should he make it.
I think he should be on the outside looking in.
I think most fans would agree with you. I think most media members would agree with you. It doesn't matter who says that other than one guy, Bill Belichick, and maybe Josh McDaniels.
I'm generally not even a fan of keeping third-string quarterbacks, period.
And they've been off and on that recently.
Yeah, I'm not when you have a guy of Brady's caliber. If I had Ryan Mallett was my starter, but by all means, because now I not only have to make a move in the event of an injury, I might have to make a move for performance. Do you know what I'm saying?
I'm not when I have a guy of Tebow's caliber. Well, if I had a guy pretend it was Cousins or some like fifth round pick that you said, oh my God, this guy can play.
He could be good. Yes.
He needs a couple of years.
No, I'd
rather have that just kind of taking up a roster spot and developing.
You're absolutely right.
You're absolutely right. The Tebow.
My point that I was trying to make, and I'm with, listen, bingo. I mean, if you had a guy that was worth
Brady.
Keeping as a third quarterback.
Brady
like
back
Brady
in the day
was,
when he was the fourth.
By all means. But what I'm saying in addition to that is the only way that you would have to make a quarterback change here is if Brady gets hurt. If you have sort of an average Joe quarterback, you might have to make a change 4 weeks in because of performance. And now if the backup goes in and plays and he gets hurt, you might not want to go back to that guy because you might not only be worried about his performance, but now his head. You know, he got yanked. So maybe the third option might be valuable there. But the biggest reason is what Andy said. If you had a young guy that you thought was worth developing, this ain't it.
Right. No, no.
Remember, 112 out of 112. That ain't a guy worth keeping.
If you were drafted the next Tom Brady in the same spot at 199 in the draft, and you thought, you know what, we're going to develop this guy, this is something we think we can work on, then it makes sense to me. But for this guy, I don't think it makes sense at all.
But,
I really don't.
But will he be on the roster? It's not what you you just so you know what you think is irrelevant.
What fun is that, Andy?
Will he be on the roster? Not what you think. Everybody agrees with you.
When I first when this first happened, I thought it has to be a long-term thing.
Me
I was
too.
Convinced of it that it had to be a long-term thing, and the reason why he was here was because they didn't have any hopes of him immediately coming in and making any sort of impact at the position, because number one, they have Tom Brady and they also have Ryan Mallett, and it had to be a project. Now, I don't know. As we get closer to those cuts, I'm starting to second guess myself
I
on
am
that.
Too.
Why?
As if they just wanted to get a look and just evaluate if there could be a long-term project. What if that was it? They brought him in for camp. They brought him in for preseason and thought, we would like this guy to be a long-term project. We would like for him to be someone we could work with, but we got to get a look at him and get him into our camp and our system for, you know, a couple of months and see what he looks like before we make that determination. Based on what they've seen, maybe they're either going to bail on their long-term project or they're not committing to him for the long-term project they had in mind.
It was a horrific signing then, if that's the case. Because to
well,
me,
not necessarily.
He's
been, why? But wait a minute. I don't
because
like
he's
the guy.
Been what
I
he is.
I don't understand. You know, this is another one that we go at it every once in a while. I don't understand what makes it horrific if
you waste
if he stays. Why is it not horrific if it stay if he stays?
Because at least I can buy in
isn't
to the
that
Josh
more, isn't
McDaniels.
That like holding on to like a high draft pick?
No, because we they
when
got
it's painfully obvious that he can't play.
They got exactly what they thought they were going to get.
They got exactly what you thought of Tebow.
What I knew of Tebow.
What you did.
And what they knew based on what they'd seen in the National Football
League. But
how do
you know how they thought about it? Maybe they had no idea how little he could read a defense.
Well, do they not watch tape? Do they not see games? Do they not
no, but
watch
I'm not,
17
I'm not
straight
about the,
three
I'm not
and outs?
About the
do they not watch him hop around, spin around, throw into the ground?
I just don't understand why, if it's painfully obvious to you that he can't play quarterback, holding him longer makes the signing
because
better.
Because you think you can develop him. You're going basically on
but
his
physical
skills.
But you're trying to develop
skills.
Something that he can't do.
But they don't believe that.
I know they don't believe it. That's why they signed him.
So I would
now
like
they
to
might
give
believe,
them the benefit
you know
of the doubt.
I had no idea it could possibly be this bad.
How could
we're
you
pulling
not
the
know?
Plug.
How could you not know?
I'm kind of siding with Beto a little
looked...
bit. I thought for sure that they would keep him for a while. But as camp has gone on, it's gotten so bad and so bad.
Listen.
Now I think this whole possibility of Gronk being on the active roster, you're going to need to find roster spots. Listen, no
and
one's going
to that's an easy spot
and you
to
know
free
what?
One up.
And you know what else? No one's going to sign him.
Oh, no, no chance.
So you can cut him and bring him back anytime you want.
But you can't just, I mean, he can't just walk into Gillette Stadium and work the weeks that he's not on the team.
Who says?
Let me ask you this, Andy. Simple yes or no question. Does he look better or worse now in this preseason than he has in at any other point where you thought maybe he looked better playing in an actual game? Because I think he looks worse.
I think the only time that I ever thought he looked any better than he does right now was that one day against Pittsburgh in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think
that's
he
the
looks...
only time I ever saw him throw passes that I said, wow, that's an NFL throw.
To me, he's looked like Tim Tebow.
Yeah, I think he's looked even worse.
That's like the whole thing. People,
I think you just watched a little closer.
People, yeah, I think that too. But people have often said, "Oh, you know, he's a game guy. It's game day. He doesn't do it. He's been every bit as bad in the games that I watched in Denver as he's been on the practice field here. This is exactly what I saw when he played for Denver and went 8-5.
Except here, he's ruined Quentin Sims' career, because if he had a legitimate third-string quarterback throwing him passes, he might have made this roster. Quentin Sims could be Jerry Rice.
That's awesome.
That's my problem with it. He's ruining the careers of other players
now
when he can't run a play on the third team.
We can talk more about that here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Mark Bertrand, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo coming to you live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, getting ready for Patriots-Lions preseason game number one. 1 hour of the program in the books. Hour number two is on the way. 855-PATS-500 is the telephone number, 508-298-0398. Web radio at patriots.com is where you can email us. And when you're tweeting, getting ready for the game tonight, hashtag that thing, hashtag PPGS. We have open lines for you if you want to call in as well. 855-PATS-500. Want to talk more about what we're looking for in tonight's game. We'll touch more on the Tebow issue as well. All of that coming up.
More hard-hitting facts and analysis coming up next on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team from Foxborough all the way to Miami.
Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest prices on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down. 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Let's go, let's go, let's go.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden or game day pickup at Patriot Place, Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Now, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, coming to you live on Patriots.com. It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. If you want to send us an email, do that. Web radio at Patriots.com. Open lines if you want to jump on board with the phones. 855-PATS-500, the toll-free number, or 508-298-0398. And when you send out your tweets as you're getting ready for Patriots Lions tonight, make sure you put the hashtag PPGS on those so we can see your tweets. Here's some tweets. One from Tim. Tim sends out a tweet.
I don't want to see Tim's tweets. Maybe Tim's wife's tweets.
Tina's.
Is this the game where some game planning is done? Should we expect to see some more complex schemes, blitz packages, etc. in preseason game number 3?
According to Bill Belichick, no. But there is a little bit more that goes into it, I would say, in this game. But Bill was asked specifically that question, I believe, on Monday, and said not any more so than any of the other games.
Here's a roster question from Heisenberg, someone going by Heisenberg on Twitter, at that Pats fan, tweets, who stays, Forston or Cunningham?
Forston.
Forston. Maybe both, but definitely Forston.
They had a big one, Forston.
I don't see how Forston can get cut based on their lack of depth at defensive tackle, unless they think an awful lot of Corey Grissom.
They might.
But I think Forston's pretty safe, and I think Cunningham is either gone or destined for IR.
That'd be a good year for him, collect another paycheck. The fact that may not have been coming.
Out of all of the guys that have not been practicing for a while, we have not seen Cunningham at all, which tells me his injury is probably much more significant than the others.
Webradio@patriots.com is where you send the emails. We'll get to some of those in a minute. Those have been streaming in all show long. We'll be reading some of those. But before we do that, make sure you check out facebook.com/New England Patriots. That's where you get the polls during the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. And in the polling center right now as we speak and ready to go, all connected, all hooked up, is Darren Hartwell. Darren, what do we have for polls tonight? What do we have?
Well, we have one poll going on. We're finally connected here. First poll, a lot of talk about the wide receivers.
Yeah.
Obviously, Danny Amendola expected not to play tonight. The question is, with last week's leading receiver, Danny Amendola, on the sidelines, who will lead the Patriots in receiving tonight?
The options are...
Yes, let's hear the options.
Okay. Aaron Dobson, Kimbrell Tompkins, Josh Boyce, Julian Edelman, Zach Sudfeld.
I'm going KT.
Julian Edelman.
I'm going KT.
Second week in a row, KT taking it home. It is a tight race, though. KT has 29%. Julian Edelman at 27%.
Ooh.
Sudfeld at 25%.
Oh.
And then Dobson and Boyce.
I would like it to be one of the three rookie wide receivers. So if it's Tompkins that Andy picked, I'd like that more. But I believe it'll be Edelman.
The bloom is off Dobson, huh? He's well behind in this race. Nobody really predicting big
things. Jumping on the 14%. Dobson train.
Now the big question is, if Tompkins does lead the team, will his yards per catch be greater than, I don't know, 5? Which has been a bit of an issue for him.
I know it's sort of picky, and we talked about it at the top of the show, but I'm a little concerned at that. You know, you have, you know, 5 catches for 5 point what?
2, I believe.
And 3 catches for Boyce for 3, 3 it's catches for 9 yards, something like that. I mean, and Dobson, while he was able to make a catch down the field, I think he had like a 20-yard catch. There just hasn't been enough of them.
Yeah.
So the three of them, I think, sort of had a good early rise in camp, and I thought they were making plays and really factoring in, especially Tompkins and Dobson, Boyce to a much lesser extent. But the last week and a half, has been a little bit of a plateau for those boys.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Here's one from Paul in Portland, Oregon. Paul writes in, Andy says it like it is. Paul, you got to get on board, bro. Tebow needs to be done. Brandon in California also emailing in.
That's a good email.
You have this backwards. I'm the one that wants Tebow gone. Andy thinks it would be a horrific signing if they cut him.
Well, first of all, it was a horrific signing either way.
Yes, that was my point.
I have to trust them. I have to trust that they believe they can develop his pure natural skills.
I think it's cute
skills.
How you decide that's when nice. You trust them and when you don't.
That's what faith is all about.
No, but, you know.
It's having, it's believing in something
it,
even though you don't see it.
I believe that the Patriots will go 12-4 and you make fun of me for believing in that.
I believe you're an idiot.
Brandon in California has an email as well. Speaking of Tebow, do you think there's any chance that if the Patriots keep him on the 53, he could cause a stir in the locker room? Because I'm sure it's a whole lot of players who actually could help the team way more than a QB/bench warmer who can't even complete a pass. will there be any resentment that he's taking up a roster spot?
From guys who get cut, yes.
Yeah, and there's the thing.
If I lose my job,
they're not in the locker room.
Right. Exactly.
They're not in there.
But I guess the point would be other guys saying, you know, I'm trying to think of like an example.
I'm going to use an example that's unrealistic because I think they're both going to make it. As a matter of fact, I think they're both locks. If Logan Ryan and Daron Harmon, if Ryan stays and Harmon goes and Tebow stays, maybe Ryan's all pissy about
right.
it.
Right.
But I think that's unrealistic because I think they're both going to make it.
Here's a good email that I think is an interesting point here. The Boston Globe reporting that Sudfeld looks like a lock to be the Patriots' top tight end when the season opens. Are you buying this? I know he has looked good throughout camp, but I was still under the impression that Fells, when healthy, and Hooman were still the first choice. Who do you expect to be the number one tight end when the season opens? That's from Matt at SDSU. What's the deal with the tight ends? And here's a question I have, a personal question of mine. Does this team need another tight end? Or are they going to be okay without Gronkowski, with Sudfeld and another guy in that group being able to make up some of the gap there?
I think they're okay, personally, if they're healthy. If Fells is healthy, I don't know what his exact situation is with what looked like a shoulder injury the last time we saw him getting looked at. But I am self-proclaimed president of the Daniel Fells fan club. I think he's a pretty good player. I think he has some soft hands. I think he can make some plays. He's not a Pro Bowler, but you're not getting Gronk and Hernandez when you replace him with other guys. I think he's a functional NFL tight end. And so I don't think, you know, if you're going to try to get Sudfeld to develop, and you have the consistent guy in Fells, and you have Hooman, who's kind of the jack of all trades, well, how many do we need here? What do we need here?
Yeah, I think they have enough, but if Fells is not healthy enough to start the season, then Sudfeld will be the number one guy in that first game.
Imagine that. Like, Sudfeld is your number one tight end, and Kembrell Tompkins is one of your top two or three receivers, and oh, by the way, the other one is Josh Boyce or Aaron. Like, just to look at what you think of as a Patriots offense, which is generally, well, they got weapons all over the board, and now we're just rolling out these undrafted rookies and calling them Tom Brady's weapons. Like, it's just sort of strange.
And so far, it's worked.
Wait, they haven't played a game yet. What do you mean it's worked?
I mean, in preseason play. What else do we have to judge them on?
Yeah, but it's irrelevant.
Okay, that's why these games don't count.
By the way, it hasn't worked.
Sure it has.
3 yards a catch for Dobson and 5 yards a catch for Tompkins?
I think Tompkins.
You know what's worked? Amendola and the running game. Good.
That was the point I was making.
Good Lord, it hasn't worked.
It's still the preseason. Right. I understand that. That's why these games don't count, Andy.
Right, but it hasn't worked.
So it hasn't worked at all. So it hasn't looked good.
No.
I disagree with you.
Not in the games, no.
When Tom Brady's on the field, you don't think it's looked good?
The rookie,
yeah, when he throws Amendola.
What are we asking?
I'm talking about
good.
The offense as the whole in the passing
okay.
game.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we're
when
talking about.
They totally
about.
Disregard the young player, sure, yeah. Look fine.
No, the offenses look good, yes.
Oh, I'm just saying that it's worth. I mean, yeah. It's not like
if they can get 62-yard runs
back,
all the time, they look fine. And as long as Amendola
I'm not
is
even
on the field,
about
they
that.
Look
I'm talking
fine.
About when they throw the football. I'm not even talking
okay,
about
okay, if Amendola doesn't play, it doesn't look fine.
It looked okay the week before.
Not really.
Looked all right.
Not really.
They scored on that second.
Dobson was dropping things.
Yeah, he went seven for eight on the second drive, and Shane Vereen made a ridiculous catch in the end zone.
Yeah.
The rookie receivers had very little to do with it.
Okay, no,
that's my point.
That's a fair point. No, I don't.
But that's what we're
what
talking
saying,
about. The fact that Sudfeld.
But you're
Tompkins,
saying that you know people are calling them weapons, and I'm you know you're taking a step back from what they once were. But they've been okay. It's
wait,
not,
but
it's
you don't think in the regular season when a defense game plans that the fact that you have all these guys
oh,
doing nothing
get a lot more.
That's why okay. I actually think you know a lot of people have been saying you know they wouldn't be
I'm
surprised
saying we can
if they
only,
get
we can
off.
Only judge them on what they've had you know available for them to do on August. What is it? The 23rd.
And it hasn't been pretty. Up until game time, I was thinking, wow, I'm pretty impressed with these rookie receivers because in practice they looked really good, and then they've done nothing in the games.
And it's only going to get harder. And
right.
That's when we will judge them in the regular season.
Because defenses will say, I'm not letting Amendola beat me.
Right. And I also think at the beginning of the season, it might look better than people thought. I think people felt like, well, it's going to be a little shaky early. Well, I think it's going to be the opposite. I think it's going to be what you said, Andy. And then all of a sudden, 2, 3, 4, 8, you know, 5 weeks into the season, when the other team says, all right, this is what a Kembrell Tompkins can do, and this is what Aaron Boyce can do. We can do this to stop that. What do they got to combat that? We'll find out. Then I think there might be a leveling off point because absolutely they're going to open season. It's going to be Amendola. But with no Gronk there, they're going to say, go ahead, Zach Sudfeld, beat us. Go ahead, Kembrell Tompkins, beat us. And then if they have some success and they do that, then they start taking those guys a little bit more seriously and then you see how it unfolds from there. But right now, I'm a little worried about Amendola having help. Because he doesn't really have any right now.
And health.
Well, everybody's worried about health with him.
855-PATS-500, the toll-free number here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. That's where Jason in Maine reaches us. He's up next. Hi, Jason.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, man?
Hey. So I wanted to say that I'm looking forward to watching the defensive front this afternoon, specifically Chandler Jones. And then ask you guys what you thought about the Detroit offensive line and if that was going to be a competition there this evening on defense versus offense.
I don't know a whole lot about the Detroit offensive line. It hasn't been really good in recent seasons, but I don't really worry so much about the matchup. I want to see pressure. I want to see a continuation of what we have seen. Mark, you said, you know, we can only go by what we've seen so far.
Right.
And what we've seen so far is there was a little pressure in the first game. They made a big play to have a strip sack on Nick Foles, and there was a ton of pressure when the frontline guys were in there in the second game. I want to see that continue.
Especially with Jones. I mean, because I think we're all counting on him to have this massive second season, and he has certainly shown flashes of what we're counting on. He had the SWAT strip sack in the first game, and he was coming off the edge in the second. So I am very much intrigued with what I'm seeing as the, and you know what I like about him too, is he seems like he's sort of building a little swagger. You know, he's definitely got an excitable personality. And last week after the game, he was definitely excited as to what they had done on the field and the possibility of this is what they can be, that they can be flying to the quarterback and other guys are involved and we're all having fun here. And I think he understands he's very much a key part of that.
Got a number of emails coming in at webradio@patriots.com. Tebow's always a hot button topic.
Love Tebow.
You know that? I mean, you have Tebow
Andy's
on your
guy.
Team.
My guy?
There's going to be discussion. Guy. Yeah, he's your guy.
When did he become my guy?
You're buying
when
in
you
on
you said
the
it would be a
plan.
Ridiculous signing if they cut him.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty clear on that.
Does that mean you want him on the team?
Yes.
No, I think they want him on the team.
What do you
I want?
Want
no part of Tim Tebow.
Oh, so he's not a Tebow guy anymore.
I've never been a Tebow guy. No.
I thought he was a Tebow guy.
Such a waffler, isn't he?
I've been known as the biggest Tebow hater in the region of New England.
No, you hate the man.
No, I hate the player.
You're the opposite of everybody else.
The man I may have come around on a little bit since he took that photo
yeah,
with my kids.
He took a lot of photos with our kids, Beetle.
All right, then. Well,
we have that going for us.
I mean, and I keep fixating on the one throw last week. I'm just going to throw it to the right flat, except, whoops, it only made it halfway to the receiver. Why did it only make it? Because you stink.
See, I'm more fixated on the interception down the middle that he said he didn't see him.
Yeah, I don't care about
didn't
that.
See it, and he just threw it anyway.
Probably, I'm more worried about
probably like to have that one back.
He saw
I honestly,
and just flat out couldn't throw the ball
you know,
to
him. I honestly have thrown passes in football games at the age of 10, and I've never thrown one to a person that I didn't see.
Yeah, but you've never had, like, God's hand in your life.
I just
so.
Can't imagine throwing a ball without seeing where you were throwing
it. If you're
it.
Tebow, the way things have worked out for you in the past, don't you just assume I'll throw it up and God will help it? I mean, that's what he's based his entire career on.
This is the kind of analysis you get.
That's in-depth. That's in-depth. A lot of emails here on Amendola. How serious do you think his injury is?
Not very.
That's what I would think.
I don't think it's hugely serious, but
it's
a
concern.
I also don't think it's something to take lightly.
We also have one person asking on email, and I can get that email pulled up for you and read it.
Okay.
It comes from Mike. Mike says, with the news coming out of Tampa Bay that they have MRSA going around, staph infection.
I actually mentioned that to Andy. I'm a little worried about that.
Is it possible that Amendola is dealing with a similar infection? It would explain why he hasn't been around.
Well, I think it would be irresponsible to jump to the conclusion of one player has it and figure out. But I certainly don't think it's beyond concern.
You mean
concern.
Amendola? Because two players have it in Tampa.
No, I know. But just assume that Danny Amendola, we haven't seen him, so he has it. That's ridiculous.
No, well, plus, he would have to have gotten some sort of cut or, you know, infection.
Oh, but I don't think that's ridiculous. But I think for us to just jump to the conclusion, because the players in question were diagnosed here with MRSA. That's where they found out about
it,
according
here.
To the reports I read.
Right? Oh,
that's what I read.
See, that's a more scary element to this in
so
terms of the Patriots.
So they had MRSA when they were in this vicinity. So that's a scare to me. For a team, by the way, that already has had some infection scares in past, you know, most notably with Rob Gronkowski, but Tom Brady, there have been some issues. I've read rumblings
maybe
in them.
Maybe Armin Armstead.
So but that was pre, so that is a little different.
But here.
No, I know.
I think it happened here.
But it's pre-Tampa, so you can't say Tampa brought MRSA and all of a sudden Armin Armstead got MRSA from Tampa.
No. I didn't know the part about it coming from here.
Well, According to what I read, they were diagnosed while up here. And Tampa has gone through the whole process of, you know, whatever they do, bleaching the locker room, bleaching the equipment, bleaching everything. The Browns went through this a couple of years ago.
That's some scary crap.
High schools go through it, you know, relatively often. It's become more of a frequent occurrence, it seems like. And, I think it's a concern. If I were a Patriots fan, there's a little bit of me, but I'm always worried about these types of things that would say, wait a minute, they were just practicing in our facility. They were just rubbing sweat and cuts and everything with our guys. Should we keep an eye on this? Now, I'm not ready to say Danny Amendola.
No, I'm not.
Or anybody.
I got to say, I just looked up what, you know, that infection entails, and it just sounds like terrible. It's just terrible.
Yeah, it's not good.
Staph strains are really serious.
Yeah, and it's very difficult to treat. So,
yes, and get rid of.
That is really scary.
But it's even not just treat in one person is it difficult, but to make sure you don't have it in your facility anymore.
Right.
That's
so that
why they
it
go
doesn't
through the,
cause recurring
right.
infections.
Now, I mean, because think
so
about.
So the question is it in any, you know, in this area here where these Patriots players are all the time?
I would hope not, and you'd think not. I don't want to jump to that conclusion, but I think as a fan, it's not illogical to have that fear.
There are places, you know, there are things that we had lined up, wanted to talk about on this show, and I did not think MRSA infections were going to be one of them.
Well, you know, you got to be on your
toes.
That's
what happens here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
We're always ready.
It's something to keep in mind.
Especially, I mean, how many, literally, when you leave a football game in the preseason, so say 75 players play, how many of those players leave the field with some sort of scrape, cut, or open, even if it's minor? I mean, it's got to be 80%.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's just a little scrape, and if this becomes a concern, any one of those little entrances to the body can become an issue. You could be getting it right now. Careful with that microphone.
Yeah, I know. I'm taking a step back for
lucky
sure.
Lucky for me, I have banana remnants on mine from when Andy threw his banana peel across.
We should just tell that
across
story.
The studio.
We should tell the story on the program.
It got
Andy,
stuck in my hand.
Andy was trying to toss his banana peel across the room and into the barrel.
Not going
to
fall for the banana in the tailpipe.
He came up. He came up about 4 feet short of the barrel, and it
and a
landed,
good 3 feet to the left.
Yeah, and it landed right on Paul's microphone.
If I were an NFL,
the banana and the tailpipe,
the peel wrapped itself right around the microphone.
It did. If I were an NFL kicker, I would have been cut immediately. I mean, that was
yeah.
That was like a college kicker where you
see
a guy just
shank
it and it's like in the corner.
Like the Penn State kid
last
year.
It was so bad that if I handed you a banana peel right now, you could not do what. You,
oh God,
you couldn't do it again.
No,
if you just tried.
It got stuck. Something happened. I don't know.
It was almost perfect.
And then Paul got all pissy.
You're not good. Oh, I'm sorry for getting upset.
Was that the comeback
it.
There?
I'm sorry for
like
getting
I
upset.
I threw something.
What is that?
Like gross. It wasn't MRSA I threw at you. I threw you a banana peel.
That's
could have been MRSA on the banana peel. Yeah. Just be careful. Mm. Be careful. Here's another question coming in on email at webradio@patriots.com. Guys, considering the spotty play at safety, could the Pats make a move for Jarius Byrd if he becomes available out of Buffalo? Reports today are that he would not be opposed to a trade. As it reads, but he has reported he has signed his franchise tender. What do we think? Would there be a shot there?
And he evidently is joining his team tonight, I think in Washington, for their next preseason game. Listen, trades to me are almost impossible to predict, but Belichick has shown in the past that they happen, and he's not afraid to make moves at the trade deadline or around the start of the season. I would be very surprised to see Buffalo trade him in the division. If they can't, I don't think they'll trade him at all, but I would be really surprised to see them trade him in the division.
And that's not really a Belichick move to trade for a guy that's looking for big money.
Yeah,
I mean,
on a franchise tender.
Yeah,
and
it just doesn't feel like there's much
chance. But we do know it's possible now, Andy, because he has signed the franchise tender. So now he can be traded.
It's not like Julius Peppers.
Right. You know, we can't even talk about it.
Plus, I mean, yes, I have some concerns about the safety play, but how much are we going to keep investing in safety where sooner or later something needs to pay off at safety? We got a second-round pick. We got a third-round pick. You went out and targeted Adrian Wilson in free agency. We've moved a Pro Bowl corner to safety. One of your first signings last year was a safety, Steve Gregory.
Two high-profile free agents and two high draft picks in the last 2 years. So four players at that position.
And we're just going to scrap
all
that?
And by the way, Bird. We moved a former Pro Bowl cornerback who was struggling at that spot to safety as well.
I feel like you got to make do. You've invested everything. Make some of it work.
That's hard words from Andy Hart.
I was going to say.
Because, yeah, the dismissive,
just make some of it work.
The dismissive Mike Felger hand. Just make it work.
Do that.
Well, I mean.
Just do that thing.
Make it
That's
work.
That's what it sounded like.
You're the coach. You're the guy who wanted all these guys.
You see how he picks and chooses when he has faith in the coach?
Yeah.
No. This is showing faith. Make it work. I have faith in you.
Do it.
You're not getting any more players. You got to make this work.
Do it. Phil tweeting today with the hashtag PPGS.
Said that was Phil. I said, I didn't know that was Phil. I knew it was Phil.
Phil says, how much do you expect McCourty to play? And do you think he'll take any snaps at cornerback as he has done at times during training camp?
I'm assuming he's going to play, right?
I would assume he's
donned the blue.
Yeah, probably like half the workload that the other guys have gotten because he hasn't played at all.
But also because they have a safety competition going on, too.
Yeah.
You know, I think it works
out
nicely.
You want to see Gregory with him, and you want to see Adrian Wilson with him.
Sure.
Maybe even Harmon with him.
Sure.
But does he play corner?
I would say no.
I would say no.
My inclination.
I would say no as well.
But I don't feel overly confident saying no. I wouldn't be stunned if all of a sudden, boom, he's at corner.
Yeah, well, it's you're still probably going to be missing Dowling and Dennard, right? Because they weren't doing any team stuff on Tuesday when we last watched them. So you're down to
Logan Ryan.
And Ryan's the third guy, and then you have guys like Cole and Justin Green and Laquan Lewis. I think you have enough. I don't think you need to put McCourty out there.
I'm not trying to win the game. I'm just getting guys reps.
But Bill is. You know, Bill takes these games very seriously. He has a 23-0 mark at stake here.
By the way, I'm getting tweets now that the Tampa players in question did not make the trip to New England. So
they didn't get it here.
We're going to have to get
to the
bottom
of this for
sure.
No, they definitely didn't get it here. One thing I said they were diagnosed while the team was in New England, but I'm thinking...
They were here.
I thought they were here, but I think they were diagnosed there.
Coincidental, they were diagnosed when they were in New England, but they were back in Tampa.
Yes, the team was in New England, and they were diagnosed while the team was in New England.
Small oversight.
That makes me worried a little
small
bit less.
Oh, yeah.
Oversight. I'm worried a little bit less about that now.
Not necessarily. I mean, if it was in the locker room, then it could be on the equipment. I mean, that's
could be anywhere.
You still
anywhere.
Have Brady, Gronk, and Armstead that
monster.
Have had infections.
And you also had all the stuff that they're now bleaching was here. All of it, except for the actual building. Everything else, like all their tables and cleats and helmets and shoulder pads, everything that they've bled in and sweat in was here. So there's still a concern for me.
All right.
Minor.
Andy is concerned. He's
minor. Don't blow this up like one of you Felger-like radio guys.
He's going to be using his Purell and going to be using some Clorox wipes.
Yes.
He's going to be keeping his workspace very clean here inside the Subway Fresh broadcast studios.
A banana peel in his workspace.
Inside Gillette Stadium, we're coming to you live on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social as we get ready for Patriots and Lions pregame, preseason game number 3, that is. We have one final timeout to take. When we come back, we'll check in with Darren Hartwell in the polling center, get the latest from the Facebook polls, and continue to get ready for tonight's game. Webradio at Patriots.com is where you can send us your email. 855-PATS-500, the telephone number. That's how you can reach us on the Ace Ticket Hotline, toll-free 855-PATS-500. And don't forget to send out your tweets with the hashtag PPGS. The show rolls on. Coming up next.
More Patriots talk. Coming up next after this quick timeout.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
With power comes responsibility, and NRG has taken that responsibility to new heights by evolving the way sustainable energy is discussed and used in the 21st century. With 3,000 state-of-the-art solar panels installed at Patriot Place, we've transformed the open-air retail complex next to Gillette Stadium into a visually stunning, self-sustaining destination that generates 60% of its own power. NRG is proud to be the official energy provider for Patriot Place, Gillette Stadium, and the New England Revolution.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
With power comes responsibility, and NRG has taken that responsibility to new heights by evolving the way sustainable energy is discussed and used in the 21st century. With 3,000 state-of-the-art solar panels installed at Patriot Place, we've transformed the open-air retail complex next to Gillette Stadium into a visually stunning, self-sustaining destination that generates 60% of its own power. NRG is proud to be the official energy provider for Patriot Place, Gillette Stadium, and the New England Revolution.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
This is Dante Hightower, the New England Patriots, and I get ready for every game with Andy Hart and Paparello on the Patriots Pregame Social.
That's good, Andy.
This is a little tradition we have around here. Predates you.
It's a one-man tradition.
Who's the girl laughing behind the glass?
How he just, the claws.
Remember the Sean Ellis one catty. With the dip in his mouth when you read it?
So Paul Perip.
Pretty much the only.
This is Sean Ellis.
Pretty much the only lasting memory of Sean Ellis in New England that he did a little.
That's why we gave him $4 million to do those promos for us.
Did a fine
job. He was
job.
Like, this is Andy Hart, and who's this Italian guy?
What are those called?
Did he really say that?
Those are called rejoins.
Rejoins?
Mm-hmm. And when
he
they
had a good rejoin.
Them, call them liners.
Liners. Liners. Can I get a liner on the rejoin?
There's bumpers. There's lots of things.
A lot of words. A lot
shotguns.
Of words you can use. A lot of words you can
What's
use.
What's a shotgun?
Shotguns when you go into the break.
Mix minus.
Leave the mix minus out of it over there.
Patriots pregame.
Now we have multiple broadcast crews.
Yes, just so people.
And he's plugging in the 300, so the heat in here is going
to
get hot.
Just so people know, the 300 lights are hooked up. They're almost ready to be turned on. so that Paul and Andy can go on TV again tonight.
Do you have my makeup tonight?
Yeah, is it almost makeup time?
It's almost makeup time. Which also means it's almost the time that both Paul and Andy take their pants off.
Yes. Well, and we take our shorts off and put
that
pants
kind of party,
on.
Huh?
It is that kind of party.
That's right.
That's
have
what
a few
goes
cocktails,
on.
Maybe start a fire in someone's kitchen.
It's we're true. About to get things rowdy for the
wake
TV
up
broadcast.
In some Chinese family's rec room.
Go to SeaWorld, take my pants off.
The red chairs look good. They look ready to go.
The new Bob's logo looks phenomenal. Bob's Discount Furniture.
Discount Furniture.
I put that thing up, by the way.
Nice sign.
I get credit for that.
You guys.
That's why it's crooked.
It's very professional. Very professional.
Matt does have my makeup.
Makeup is going to be going
last
on.
Week he just left like a
momentarily.
Andy, you should take a picture and tweet this.
Oh, that is a good idea. This guy's always thinking.
Let's do that. Let's get a picture of that and tweet that out. And again, if you're tweeting.
Come on.
If you're tweeting, it's hashtag PPGS. Come on, really? No, this is fun, Paul. This is a part of the show.
This is what Twitter is for, sort this of behind the scenes
right.
kind of.
Like I took a picture and tweeted it of you guys on the air last week and people liked it.
You did?
Yeah.
People liked it? You mean like two?
Yeah, all two of my followers.
So we'll get a good picture of that. And
I don't have any followers either. Don't feel bad.
This guy's got like 20,000. We need him to.
Well, he's a real radio guy.
And he uses Twitter. He tweets. I don't feel bad. I don't tweet. That's why I don't have any followers.
You can follow us on Twitter. At Paul. For Paul, it's at PFW Paul. Easy enough.
Yeah, very easy.
At PFW
Everybody
Paul.
That listens to this show follows me.
That's right. Andy Hart. You can find him on Twitter at Jumbo Hart. Pretty easy. Easy to get to. And then I have the complicated one. The mark with a C. And then an underscore. And then Bertrand.
Why don't you change that?
Because I don't want to lose the handle now. Paul, it's my name.
Branding.
I couldn't get it without the underscore. Some French guy
you should become
has it.
Like a general
French
manager
guy.
Type, you know, in charge of branding.
Yeah. I mean, some
you know,
French guy up in
that's
Canada.
What they're doing nowadays.
Yeah. Mark underscore Bertrand. If you,
he doesn't like the
no, I just, I'm
he doesn't
gonna,
like the path
I'm going to leave
taking.
That alone. I'm going to leave that one alone. But thanks for playing, Paul.
All right.
855-PATS-500 is the telephone number. 855-PATS-500.
Now we got two girls laughing in the other room.
Yeah. Now, would you guys, if you were just a fan.
Yeah.
Would you and we have a lot of fans that are global, as case in point, 7:30 in Australia. Would you be getting up in the middle of the night to watch the third preseason game for
if there was a preseason game out of the three that I would get up for, this would be the one.
But yeah, you might not anyway.
I would watch preseason, and I can consider myself a season ticket holder. Unlike you, I cared about this team before I worked for it, and I did not watch
cheap barbs.
I did not. I did not watch preseason games regularly, but I didn't like go out of my way not to watch it. If I happen to be
even as a season ticket
like
holder,
I never went to the games.
No, but you didn't watch them on TV.
No. Well, I mean, if like I said, like a Thursday night, like tonight, if I wasn't
third
doing anything,
game.
You know, maybe I would watch it. But I didn't go out of my way to watch. You know, you didn't have your ritual of how you would watch, say, a road game.
Well, yeah, you know, no. I mean, it's different.
I didn't necessarily worry about
but
watching
we're
preseason
getting
games. But
enough.
But I'm not going to say I didn't see any of them. I saw my share.
We're getting enough across the Twitter timeline, you know, pounding coffee ready for 12:30 kickoff. Matt, I don't know.
So you're making fun of my boy Rick came down here all the way to watch this preseason game. You're making fun of him. You called him a loser?
No.
Did the word loser come out of my mouth for anybody?
Except we're talking about you?
We're just talking about some viewing habits. I don't know. I don't think anyone got called a loser.
I don't know where the name calling
I actually think they're very passionate fans, and I think that's great.
Well, Paul was saying that nobody watches the preseason games or something like that.
No, I was saying that I was a season ticket holder, and I wouldn't go out of my way to watch them. Andy was asking if... You would watch if you were just a fan. Would you watch preseason games? That was the question
you know,
Andy
yeah,
posed.
Yeah, because UK Patriots are huge, and they're what 6 hours ahead of us.
Right.
So you're talking about 1:30 in the morning.
It requires a commitment.
Oh yeah, and tomorrow's Friday, by the way. It's not even a weekend where you can get by on it. So you're gonna have to go to work tomorrow. I just think they're committed
internet,
fans.
Internet DVR.
You know, you go
someone
back,
needs to invent that, right? Like where you can record the stream and then watch it tomorrow.
You probably can. I bet you geeks know how to do
it. I bet some geeks know how to do that.
But you go back 20 years or so for me, and, you know, Friday, Saturday night or something like that, I'm not probably going to sit in the house and watch my preseason game. I'm going to go out and rip it up.
Well, I would say that the majority of fans now
have a few Miller Lights, Lites.
I think the real, you know, the real football fans, I think they do watch the preseason games.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Now, does that have a fantasy angle to it?
Look at our numbers.
It might. I mean, I think everything has a fantasy angle to it now, doesn't it?
The first two.
You're talking about this league. Fantasy has a major impact.
The first two Patriots preseason games were the highest watched shows in Boston both weeks. I mean,
the first one was slightly higher, and Paul and I were on that one.
The rating was a little lower, but the
amount
of viewers was actually higher.
I think it was all those smooth Rick Astley references.
thank you very much.
That's what I think it was. Are you guys like the unofficial social media directors for the television broadcast?
No, we are not.
You're not.
No,
because it seems like Rochi went to you pretty often with the. How are the tweets looking?
Yeah.
What's it looking like on Twitter?
We're going to sort of back away from that this week.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
So there's going to be less about the Twitter and more about...
I think Paul's whole thing with, who is it, Rick Railing, Rick Rocking?
Rick Rolling.
Rick Rolling.
It's unbelievable.
You don't know what Rick Rolling is?
Not particularly.
Oh, forget it. Where have you been the
kids
last
nowadays,
decade?
Beetle, they just don't understand.
We do have some information courtesy of our upcoming guest, I believe. Eric Scalavino chimes in. Right guard Dan Connolly not taking warm-up reps with the first O-line. Will Svitek remains in that spot, although, as we've learned earlier, Connolly is in uniform and on the field.
I have an update, too. Patriots in road white jerseys with blue pants tonight. Lions in their blue jerseys with silver pants tonight.
Thanks. Thanks for bringing that to the table.
That was my update.
Just happy they're all wearing pants.
Yeah, we won't be soon.
855.
Jeff Howe indicating Nate Ebner out. Not expected, according to Jeff Howe.
If a Nate Ebner doesn't play and no one notices, did he miss the game? I mean, is Nate Ebner on the team? Do you have him on your roster, Paul? You did a roster projection for the upcoming page.
Nate
of the
Ebner
Patriots
is
Football
off.
Weekly.
Matter of fact, I don't consider him the one fringe guy, but he was the last guy off because we talked about this. I originally did my breakdown, I had five corners and five safeties. I changed that because of the injury concerns.
Mr. Rodgers' neighborhood.
Because
Tom
of
Brady
injury concerns
arrived.
At cornerback, I changed that to six corners and four safeties, and Ebner was the guy that was left on the cutting room floor.
I'm actually to the point with him where I'd be mildly surprised if he made the team.
No Fells either.
Fells and it didn't.
Let's go inside the press box at Ford Field, joining us now on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Is the man you just mentioned, Eric Scalavino, joins us here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Hello, Eric. Give us your early observations in terms of who's on the field and who isn't.
Well, I'm just surprised that you guys are wasting so much time talking about Nate Ebner. Who cares?
Well, that's kind of how I feel at this point. I'd be kind of surprised if he made the team at this point.
Yeah, just a non-factor, just an invisible player, and no sense even bothering to talk about him. More important.
Okay, we won't talk about him the rest of the show, I promise.
Good, good. Andy, your boy Big Smooth, not out here.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
That is unfortunate because I think he really is in a battle for a roster spot with either Michael Holm and Awanui or maybe Dark Horse James Devlin. I think there's only going to be room for maybe one, maybe two of those guys, but certainly not helping that. He hurt himself and missed a little time, but then came back to practice, but he's not in uniform here tonight. So that's an interesting one to watch. Of course, no Danny Amendola. Devin McCourty, though, for the first time, is in uniform for a game and is warming up right now with the first defensive unit. So looks like he might get not only some action, but might even start.
How do you envision... Or what are you seeing maybe at receiver with Amendola out? Are we just going to get an Edelman fill-in, or could we get some boys? Could we, you know, how are they going to handle those slot reps?
Well, right now, your first unit has Dobson and Edelman at the wide receiver spot. So that's what I have been seeing so far. That's what I would anticipate we see once the game kicks off. But the second group that's coming out just right now and taking snaps with Tom Brady is the aforementioned Boyce and Kendrell Thompson. So I think there'll be a lot of personnel groupings that I don't think you'll really be able to make much sense one way or the other of who has an edge or not. I think they're just going to experiment tonight because they had the luxury of going probably the better part of three quarters with Tom Brady under center. So this is the time to get those personnel groupings in working with this team, what they have. But I think looking directly for who's taking up Amendola's spot, I have to say it's Edelman.
On the other side of the football, a guy I'm intrigued with tonight, given some of the injuries and issues at cornerback, is Logan Ryan. And maybe if we would see not only more of him, but maybe some of him with the top unit working in the slot as they sort of pick and choose those roles that are kind of coming to a head here as we get closer to the regular season. What have you seen in terms of the cornerback reps at this point?
Well, I think you're going to see... Well, you know, it's always tough to say that, you know, warm-ups are going to translate to the actual games, because so many times we've seen that what happens in warm-ups means nothing when it comes to actual game prep. But I think you'll probably see Kyle Arrington be the right cornerback opposite to Lee at first, with Ryan maybe coming in that second wave when they finally do. But I think you might have touched on something with Ryan getting some reps as that slot guy, because I haven't really been impressed with what Marquise Cole has done overall this summer. And if there's a spot to be won for Logan Ryan, he's had a really up and down camp. It might be in that area, because if they have to go without Alphonso Dinners once the regular season starts, I would feel much more comfortable at this point with Kyle Arrington, even though he's not a great outside cornerback. He's better suited in the slot. I know what I'm getting with him, whereas with Logan Ryan at this point, it's hit or miss. It's really unpredictable what he's going to bring. He could get burnt one play or come up with a nice pick six the next. His best shot maybe to get some reps might be at the slot this spring.
All right, Eric, we appreciate your taking a couple of minutes here, checking in with us from Detroit, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, guys. Enjoy the game.
All right, Eric Scalavino coming to us from inside the press box at Ford Field. Patriots and Lions getting set to go just a few short minutes from now. It's preseason game number 3 coming up with a 7:30 kickoff, and we're taking your call still at 855-PATS-500, 855-728-7500, or 508-298-0398. You can send in your emails, webradio@patriots.com. If you're on Twitter, use the hashtag PPGS. I just made the mistake of tweeting and not using that hashtag. I just
WTF.
I know, it's so ridiculous. I should be, you know,
not any more ridiculous than what you tweeted.
No, what we tweeted out though was the,
what did he tweet? Me. I'm not even sure I follow you.
Picture of Paul getting his makeup done.
Oh, I tweeted one of those out too.
Oh, good.
And I did include the hashtag, so anybody who's following on Twitter can search the hashtag PPGS and see Matt putting Paul's makeup on for TV.
It's great. Looks good. Looks good, Paul.
You do look good.
Doing
it's
well.
Better this week. Last week he left that big line down your cheek. It's much better.
I'm a little more concerned with Daniel Fells. I'm not going to lie. I'm depressed.
I'm not only concerned with Fells. I have to say Paul is right again. Going to get all this Julian Edelman whoop-de-ding-dong-do.
Yeah.
I'd like to see some other people that I feel like I haven't seen that have upside. I mean, Edelman is Edelman.
I agree.
I'm not saying he really sucks, by the way.
I want to see the three rookies. That's what I want to see. But at least Dobson's out there with the...
And you'll see rotations.
And I'm not sure,
but...
like, Eric has seemed like really upset tonight. You know, Fells hasn't practiced, contrary to his report there. He's been back, but he hasn't practiced.
Paul Perillo calling out the erroneous report from fellow PFW writer PBGS guest.
But I want to explain this in terms of roster breakdowns here. He was back on the practice field, but hasn't practiced, much like Dennard and Dowling haven't practiced.
Well, we actually don't know anything for
sure.
He's
been down in the lower fields working. Well, I'm talking
we
about
don't
the,
know anything
the
for
windows
sure.
that we're right. out there. But in the windows we're out there, he hasn't practiced. And to say that he was is, I think, sort of misleading. The big beneficiary of all of this is Zach Sudfeld. Because Zach Sudfeld had an opportunity.
Oh!
He had an opportunity when everybody else was hurt, and he seized it. And he's earned himself a role.
You can get on the polls of the Patriots Facebook page, facebook.com/New England Patriots. Darren Hart L is in our poll center. Darren, what do we have in the poll center?
I'm battling moths over here in the poll center, but we got another one up. Taking a little bit of a big picture look, which area of play you've been most impressed with so far this season?
The answer would be...
Choices?
The offensive line. Was that not a choice?
Passing game.
That's not a choice.
What are the options? Passing game,
running game, passing game, pass defense, and run defense.
Passing game, overwhelmingly.
Yeah.
Not pass defense.
It's pretty close, but the answer is running game.
Running game?
33%.
They've done their job.
The lead.
And pass rush and passing game tied at 28.
All right, so there you go. And that is the current poll going on right now, correct, Aaron?
Yes. Yep.
Okay, very good.
Live.
Check out that live poll, facebook.com/New England Patriots. Thank you, Darren, for the check-in from the poll center. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address if you want to send in your email. There's one email here taking on, I think Andy I think this is Andy's thing here. It says, how can you say that the new receivers didn't do anything yet in these games? In the first preseason game, KT had several catches on the scoring drive. Dobson had a 23-yard catch as well. Brady has been spreading the ball around, so we'll see different people step up each game. Amendola was quiet in the first game, but aggressive in the next. That's from Thomas in Baltimore.
Yeah, I really haven't seen that much.
That's accurate. In four drives, they contributed to one of them. That's accurate. Tompkins made, I think, three catches on the scoring drive, and Dobson made one.
You guys are down on these.
The other three scoring drives, they did nothing.
And by the way, the targets for Dobson is like three catches in 14 targets or something like
well,
that.
Well, it's funny. We have an email on that as well from Eric. Eric writes in, again, webradio@patriots.com. I think a lot of people in the... Yeah, put your pants back on.
No, they're coming back on. Paul's are still off. He's standing right next to you.
Oh, I'm not going to turn my head. I'm not going to turn around.
Paul's got a new poll for you.
I think a lot of people in the media are citing the four catches on 13 targets as a disappointment for Dobson thus far in the preseason. I agree with Andy and Paul and have tempered my enthusiasm on him, but he has a solid average per catch, four receptions for 65 yards, and the vast majority of missed targets, other than the one bad drop, have been caused by Tebow or Mallett throwing at his feet or over his head. Would like to see him get more opportunities with Brady tonight. That's from Eric in New York.
I agree wholeheartedly with basically that entire email. My only concern is he hasn't gotten open with anybody at quarterback. Doesn't matter. And that would be my one concern. But I would like to see him get more time, like Boyce, like all of them, with Brady tonight. Why I'm a little disappointed in the whole Edelman. I just been there, done that. I know he can fill in. I feel confident. I feel like he's probably going to get hurt at some point. But I know if Bill's treating this like a regular season game, yeah, maybe if this were week one and Amendola went down, you would see Edelman because the other guys aren't ready. But how do you get the other guys ready so you avoid that decision in the regular season? You play him in the preseason.
Here's a good question related to not just the rookies that we've talked about in the receiving game, but rookies overall. David writes in on email, which Patriots rookie do you think will have the most impact on the team this year?
I am going to go with Kembrell Tompkins. Rep-wise, he seems like he's the guy that's fit in the most consistently.
I will go with one of the defensive players, either Collins or Ryan. If I have to pick one, I'll take Ryan, Logan Ryan.
If I had to pick one of the defensive guys, I'm going to go Collins. But I would agree with you that right now, based on what we've seen, and it's just the preseason.
But you're big on the preseason.
I'm bigger on the preseason than I guess you guys are. I mean, this is all we have to watch at
Anybody's
this point.
Bigger on it than me, because I think it's completely and utterly irrelevant.
Well, let me give you another question then from Alex. Do you really think you can judge how a team or players will perform in the regular season by watching the preseason? Where do you gauge that? Where do you put that at, Paul, in terms of what you see tonight? How much of that can we take away and project into the regular season?
I think individually, you can see how guys factor in a little bit in terms of their abilities. I think in team-wise, schemes, schematically, I think you can nothing, literally nothing. I want to see what Andy just talked about with Dobson. I want to see him go out and get open and catch a ball from Tom Brady. That I don't care about game plans for that. I don't need to see, well, he caught 12 balls for 300 yards, so that means he's the next Calvin Johnson. That I don't look at in terms of the regular season, but I can watch him run a route against the cornerback regardless of game plan or scheme or whatever's going on. Can he create separation, and does the timing look right between he and Brady? That I think you could take from preseason.
Let's get one completely random question here.
Love them.
Let's end on a light note here.
Love random
the
questions.
Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
This is like answer the question jerk. Do you know what that is?
This answer.
Can you admit that note? You know what that is?
No, I do know what that is. Where is that from?
You probably don't want to say.
Oh, that was disappointing right there.
Answer the question. I'll have to think about that.
It's from your rival, your competitor.
Oh. Okay, maybe that's where I've heard it or not heard it.
Well, you shouldn't really have heard it because...
Rival in terms of, the nail to your hammer. They're not really a rival.
Yeah, something like that. Let's get an email here for Andy. This is for Andy. This is for Parker in Massachusetts. Parker wants to know, Andy, who is your celebrity crush?
Celebrity crush.
He's got so many.
I do have quite a few.
Who is number one?
Who's... can I, there has to be like a certain parameters, but,
simple one sentence question and you have provided nothing.
Skinny
so far.
Jessica Simpson, very high on the list. Fat Jessica Simpson, not so high on the list.
As they are today, right now, if they walked in the room, who would you want to walk through the door?
Brooklyn Decker.
Exactly.
Brooklyn Decker's up
there.
Kate Upton's up there. Halle Berry's up there. I mean, there's been Leticia Costa was a big one a while back. But hot Jessica Simpson is very high on the list. When she looked like
okay, well, you can't,
Daisy Duke,
you can't
when she
have
had the
that.
Daisy Dukes and those boots were made for walking, they
it's
were.
It's how she stands right now.
I don't know what she looks like right now. Is she fat or skinny?
She's unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Well, if I pick my one girl and she's fat right now, how disappointing is that? Like you used your one wish and she walks through the door and she's a cow.
I like
that's not fun.
I'm passionate about breasts.
Okay, so I'll go Kate
nice,
Upton, right?
Someone's daughter.
That's nice, Andy. That's really
it
nice.
Happens.
I'm glad we ended with that question.
You asked it,
that's
jerk.
I didn't ask it. Parker in Massachusetts asked it.
Good okay. job, Parker.
Parker wanted
did
to
Did I miss any, Paul? You kind of know a lot of my...
yours? For him, anybody with a pulse and breasts. It's
well,
very
big
simple.
Breasts. I like them big. I'm passionate about breasts.
All right, very good. You two guys will be doing your TV gig again tonight.
Can't
we'll,
say
we'll
these types of things
not have
on
any
TV.
Of this kind of conversation.
Yeah, this
on
will
that.
Not be a part of it. But you guys will be having your television... What do you call that? Your chiming in? Your chime-ins, your look-ins, what
do they
call it?
We call it analysis.
I'm not dismissing.
What do you call those updates
that
you do? That
you,
what do you, chime-ins?
They're called sports updates.
Oh, okay.
Well, we call it expert analysis based on our immense experience covering this team.
I'm just wondering what they call that when they come to you guys here on the red
couches.
Nobody
needs updates anymore.
So, Paul and Andy will be right here in this studio.
Bob's Discount Furniture Studio.
They'll be on your TV. On your TV. If you want to watch the game, you can do that locally. In the Boston area on WBZ TV, and you can also watch it on Patriots.com. So check out tonight's preseason game number 3, and then when you're done with that, come on back right here to Patriots.com radio. I'll be on in the post game. We'll be talking about what happens tonight. We'll be hearing from Bill Belichick, maybe hearing from Tom Brady as well. That's coming up after the game. You don't want to miss that. This has been the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Thanks for listening, everybody.
This has been the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page. Now it's game time as the Patriots square off with the Detroit Lions.
Over the middle it goes. It is intercepted by Brandon Spikes at the 35, 40, 45 at the 50 of Baltimore and out of bounds on the far side of the field.
Be sure to tune in to Patriots.com radio for the Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand immediately following the game.
28 seconds remaining. Empty backfield. Three receivers near side right. Pass lead by 6. Snap to Fitzpatrick looking over the middle. Fires to the right. Intercepted in the end zone. Intercepted by Devin McCourty.
Log on to Patriots.com all week long for the latest news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you next week on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.